Attention, radio listeners.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
V.I.G. Ah!
When I eat hot Cheetos, I get crazy.
I just love hot Cheetos! I love you so much!
What would happen to me if I ate this whole bag?
You might have the runs.
Your booty might be burning.
How are my little crackers today?
Good. 2/3 of Americans say it's not worth fighting.
So?
So, you're not, you don't care what the American people think?
No, I think you cannot be blown off course by the fluctuations in the public opinion.
I don't like his tone.
You're being a tool, man.
What did you want the man to do?
I think, frankly, you're out of line with that question.
You're such a dick.
So?
God, I hate you so much. I just want to smash your face in.
So?
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
You goddamn dumb stoner.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over. Roll another one.
Wake and bake.
Just like the other one.
Smoke weed every day.
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine. It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
It's our time to shine.
Let's shine.
I've never known such blackness.
So.
Roll another one.
You know, I got some weed at work today. Y'all want to try it out?
Just like the other one.
Like, I only think about smoking pot.
This one seems to be about to.
I'm really stoned. Sorry.
I don't have another sin.
I'm so high. Nothing can hurt me.
I'm gonna smoke pot every day.
Just pass it around.
Roll some more joints.
I'm looking to score some drugs.
I just pass it on down.
And now.
You did it.
No, weed did it.
Our feature presentation.
Oh, that's such a good show. Morning, everybody. It's Kevin and Bean Show. It's 5:33, and it is Friday, the 21st of Blovember.
Take a deep breath, relax your throat, and open your mouth wider.
And I'm talking about his balls.
No work.
Thank you, Sarah. It's the Kevin and Bean Show on KROQ for Friday morning. We are going to be taking your phone calls in just a couple of minutes, as we do every morning at this time. 1-800-520-1067. Get on the air, get a prize for Kevin and Bean's What It Do Nephew. So listening to some Dick Cheney as I prepared that intro for this morning, and I realize how much I'm going to miss that man.
Yeah. It's tough to find it's tough to find somebody who you can't like anything about. It really is.
You are so right about there. There's not one redeeming quality.
I mean, at least President Bush, I mean, you could look at him and go, well, he's not the smartest of guys, but you kind of believe at times that he's just doing the best he can.
Right.
But Cheney, you'd never get that idea.
Yeah.
I admire his self-confidence, I think.
Dick Cheney's?
Yes.
Well, I think
I can find one thing I like about him. I think I admire his confidence. He does believe what he's doing is right.
Yeah, but that's no evidence will veer him off that course. I don't think that's admirable.
I think his confidence is way too far over the top.
Yeah. I mean, it's.
He does like Dick.
He does. That's true.
So he at least have something in common, at least.
And Mike.
What? Come to think of it.
You know?
Mike, yeah.
Do you think Hillary Clinton would make a good president?
No, I don't.
Why?
Because she's a Democrat.
Yeah, I think I'm going to miss Dick. I'm going to miss him. By the way, not to punch a man when he's down, but there's a very funny video. I can't remember where I saw it. It might even have been on TMZ, but it was from some sort of international conference, the G20 summit, I think it's called, that President Bush attended at. And he's up on stage, and I guess they're getting ready to speak to the crowd or whatever and have some sort of a roundtable discussion. And he's walking by all of these world leaders on the stage, and none of them will shake his hand.
Dick Cheney's
hand? It's not like he has his hand out and they're ignoring it. He's just walking past them, and the guy on either side of him in the line are shaking hands with everybody on the stage. And he's not shaking hands with anybody, and nobody's shaking hands with him. And I didn't see the piece, and I haven't seen it in context, so I don't know if maybe he just had a bad cold and he was just trying to not spread it. I didn't know what was going on there, but it's just so weird to see the President of the United States walk past an entire receiving line and nobody shaking his hand when everybody else is doing that.
Wow.
So, I mean, that's
lame duck with a capital L.
Yeah.
It's kind of suck to be the lame duck guy, but you are the President of the United States. You still deserve the courtesy, you know, of the acknowledgement.
Just for the office, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Especially in that world.
It's just weird. It's a weird piece of video.
You think we can just change things this time and just move on? I mean, really? Do we have to wait till January 20th?
Let's just move them in today.
Let's make an exception and just go, the old guy's out, the new guy's in. Let's move on.
He's been going to these conferences, and nobody cares what he thinks because they know in 2 months it's done anyway.
Exactly, yeah. What do we hear what you think? Right. Especially now when there are so many decisions that really need to be made. Like, it'd be nice to have the president's input, a president who's going to be around on this, you know, this auto bailout, potentially, for instance. I mean, that's the kind of thing that you don't – I mean, if you're the outgoing president, you don't want to screw things up too much for the new guy.
Right.
You know, you don't want to make some deals that are going to saddle him with something that he doesn't want to do. In other words, but
or does he?
I don't know. Like, if the Republicans think that way or the Democrats think that way when they're outgoing, maybe they want to just
set up landmines everywhere.
Yeah,
get out of this one.
They're still Americans and they still live in America, so I don't think they want it to. You know,
okay.
Fall
so
apart.
So let's not make it so negative. They want to make sure that what they think is right gets put into stone as much as possible.
They definitely, all the groups do that at the end of their term. They try to pass a bunch of different laws. And
I can't wait to see who President Bush lets out of jail on the last day. I always love that.
Those are always cool.
Because Clinton pretty much released everyone.
He did.
Yeah. He just really just said, release the hounds, and everybody got let loose.
There's no one left. Charles Manson moved it onto my island. It was the weirdest thing when he showed up. I was like, what are you doing? He's like, Clinton.
There's nothing you can do about it. All right, let's take your phone calls. 1-800-520-1067.
We're sorry. You must first dial 0 or 1. What it do, nephew?
Get on the air, get a prize. How about Warren Miller's new film? It's called Children of Winter. He does unbelievable winter photography. I mean, I guess you got to give him credit as being just the king of the guy who's done the most great footage of guys skiing off of mountains. I mean, he's unbelievable. You get tickets to the K-Rock screening of that, which is coming up December 2nd in Newport Beach. Also, we'll throw in a pair of passes to the Ski Dazzle, which is coming to the Los Angeles Convention Center the weekend of December 4th.
All right, let's begin with Ray in Covina. Good morning, Ray.
Good morning. What it do, nephew?
What it do?
What it do?
I'm going to tell you what it's about to do. I'm going to have major burns of the booty right now.
Uh-oh.
Oh, you got some Cheetos.
Yes, last night I had a whole bag of Cheetos real late last night.
Hot Cheetos.
I'm on my way to work. Move! I gotta go.
He's got the fear.
Oh, he's got the fear because of all those Cheetos.
I gotta go so bad.
How long till you get to a bathroom?
Probably in about 5 minutes.
The fear.
The fear.
5 minutes not gonna be long enough.
Yeah, if you're like Mike, just pull over and find a lawn.
A lawn? I don't have time for a lawn.
Dude, should have listened to little kids, dude. Should have listened to little kid.
They did tell you your booty could be burning. Is one of the reasons you called us to distract your mind so that you can think about something else other than what's going on in your loins?
Either that or I knock my knees and I'm running. I'm literally running.
Okay.
I'm literally running.
And let's stay on the phone with them.
Let's
just check it.
The rest.
All right. What's your progress?
I'm in the door.
All right. In the door?
Okay, good.
No,
yes,
no.
Yes.
Home or work?
I'm at work.
Work. Okay.
Okay.
All right, I'm about 2 seconds away.
Yes.
You can do it, man.
He's going to make it. He's going to make it.
This is so awesome.
I'm going to make it.
You can do it.
If I start hopping, then we got some problems here.
Is the bathroom open? Can you get in there?
I can see it.
Locked.
You can see the bathroom. Okay.
Move.
Right. It's time.
Touchdown.
Yes! He made it!
Yeah!
He made it.
How exciting. It's the first live
when
fear.
I get hot Cheetos, I get crazy. I just love hot Cheetos. I love them so much.
But you got to keep in mind that your booty be burning, so be very careful. Make sure you got an exit strategy. That's fantastic work. Congratulations, Ray. Glad you made it.
All right, let's go to Mark in La Mirada. Good morning, Mark. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Good morning. What to do?
What to do?
Do?
What to do, baby boo?
Good morning.
This one's for Bean. I wonder if you read the latest Maxim magazine with the famous jetpack on there.
No, I don't think I've seen that particular article. Is there something new in jetpacks that I need to know about?
Well, they have it. It's a four-cylinder, goes about 8,000 feet, and it's up for grabs for about, I think it was $100,000. I think the website was TylerManzUSA.com.
If it's the one, it sounds like you're describing the one that we talked about a couple of months ago when they had their big unveiling.
You were going to get one.
Put it on sale for the public. But it was bogus. It was pretty lame. They still have a long way to go on jetpacks. The best jetpacks so far are still the ones that you have to jump out of an airplane to ride. You know what I mean? Those are the best.
Well,
that yeah. seems like too much work.
I guess they don't cost you $100,000 either.
Yeah. Well.
Yeah. Just keep your eyes peeled for me, though. I appreciate the tip on that, because there will be a jetpack in my lifetime that I can strap onto my back and go anywhere. I'm looking forward to that.
That's how Bean's going to go. I'm convinced of it. One more. Let's go to Frank in Long Beach. Good morning, Frank.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's happening?
My girlfriend went to go watch Twilight last night, and when she came home, she decided to wake me up because I refused to go.
Oh, you didn't go to the movie with her?
No, no way.
Okay.
So she wakes me up out of my glorious sleep to ask me why I can't be more like Edward.
Yeah, so, this is going to be trouble for a lot of guys this weekend after they see The Perfect Man.
That's not even the best part. So I roll over. And I hug her, and I bit her.
Nice.
She didn't like that too much.
Did you drink her blood?
No, she's like, what the hell? So I hissed her. I was like...
I find it hard to believe that somebody who got woken up out of a cold sleep is that witty.
Yeah, he's witty this morning.
All right, thank you for the call. Wish you could be more like Edward. That's scary. Let's talk about today's Kevin and Bean Show, shall we?
All right.
From the San Diego Chargers, one of the best linebackers, Sean Merriman, will be in the studio today.
Wow.
And we're going to do Ask an NFL Player.
That's a good one.
Give you a chance to ask him whatever you want. Sean Connery is back in the news. We might have to check in with him about some stuff.
Really?
Two or three things, yeah. Darn. Movie Beat will be here because it's Friday, Ralph. We'll tell you what movies are in the theater. Highlights from last night's Celebrity Rehab. Some fighting going on. Fantastic.
So good. Yes.
Okay.
Guns N' Roses, Chinese Democracy comes out Sunday. We'll give you some clips of that just in a few minutes. You can find out what you think about it. And just after 6, we're going to talk to Kristen Stewart from Twilight.
Awesome.
So that's coming up on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show, plus your tickets to K-Rock's Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. We'll tell you what song to listen for coming up. Ralph Showbiz is...
announced less than 24 hours ago right here on this station, right here on this show. The details for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008, night number one. That's December 13th at the Gibson Amphitheater. Great, great lineup, including The Offspring, Stone Temple Pilots, Rise Against, AFI, Stain, 3 Days Grace, Slightly Stupid, and Hollywood Undead. And then yesterday afternoon on the Cinco de la Tarde show, we announced night number two the next night, which is The Cure and The Killers and Death Cab, Paramore, Franz Ferdinand, Scott Weiland, Snow Patrol, Vampire Weekend. We have tickets to both shows that you can win today. What are we announcing? How are we announcing that you win those tickets, Kevin?
I think we're announcing, we could announce now if we had the info.
If only we knew. I think it's if you hear, well, I better not say that until I know for sure.
It is if you hear a song. You're listening for a song, and then you'll call in and win tickets for, you know, whichever night that band is playing.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it's going to work.
So it's any song by any band on either night is what you're telling me?
No. Well, no. I'm telling you we're going to name a specific one, but then you're going to listen for that specific song. Whatever night that band is on, you'll win tickets for that night.
Okay. So stand by and we'll tell you which song to listen for first. That'll be coming up in a few minutes. Just after the top of the hour, just a few minutes after Doc's news, we'll be talking to actress Kristen Stewart. She, of course, plays Bella in the new film called Twilight, opening up today. And that's on the way right now. Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on, Ralph?
Bella!
I love that moment in that Marlon Brando movie where he just screams your name over and over.
I don't know what that is.
That's so awesome.
That's Stella.
I can't believe they got him for Twilight because, you know, he hasn't been working in a while. It's amazing.
No, that's completely different.
Bella!
Stella.
What?
Her name is Stella in this movie?
Not the same movie. No.
Change it from the book, because in the book is Bella. It's weird.
Fans are not going to be happy.
They'll be upset. Let's talk showbiz, shall we, people? Finally, Ashley Simpson's had her baby. Now can she shut the F up? How about Pete Wentz?
More importantly, can he shut the F up?
Apparently they had the boy yesterday.
Who's going to teach that boy to be a man?
No one. Well, you know who's going to teach him to be a man? When he gets his ass kicked on the playground because they named him Bronx Mowgli Wentz.
No, they didn't.
Bronx Mowgli Wentz.
That's awful.
Wow. Even for celebrities, that's good. And then the kid's going to get beat up, and he's going to come home, and then Pete's going to go over and try and have a talk with the other parent, and they're going to beat him up.
Mom, Dad, they beat me up because you called me Bronx. My name is Bronx.
Name.
We'll just go by your middle name. Okay. Hi, I'm Mowgli. Remember the kid from the Jungle Book? Had the bear as a friend? That's the my middle name. Mowgli.
Terrible name.
Wow.
F these people. F the whole Simpson family, and F all the Wences.
What's my name?
Even Senior Wences.
Wow. A rare Ed Sullivan joke.
That was just for me. Grandpa Joe Simpson says, the day Ashley found out that she was pregnant, she became a woman.
Really? That's how it works?
Yeah. Huh.
Who knew?
I thought it was the other way around.
So maybe she became a woman back when I was touching her, but no, now it's when she became pregnant.
Oh! Yeah.
Creepy dude. Creepy manager slash dad.
Check out her rack now that she's had a kid.
What's better than lesbian Lindsay Lohan?
Another hot lesbian with her?
Nope. Oh. Lindsay Lohan in a lesbian cat fight.
Yes.
Cool.
Apparently, Lindsay Lohan has been arguing a lot lately with her special lady. Yeah. Samantha Ronson. And they got physical in a club in London this week.
Uh-oh.
According to witnesses, Lindsay and her lover, Samantha, had a physical fight. Samantha flew into a jealous rage when she spotted Lindsay flirting and dancing erotically with her ex-boyfriend, Callum Best. She stormed over to confront the pair. Source says Sam had a few cocktails earlier in the evening. And Sam went ballistic. They started screaming and swearing at each other, and that's when the fight started.
This is not a party atmosphere at all.
Hair pulling, screaming, scratching.
Really?
Oh, I'm going to save this article for later so I can read this in the restroom.
Oh, man.
Yeah. There's not enough lesbian catfight porn, that's for sure. I don't see that very often.
Pretty small category.
Although they are playing Acoustic Christmas Day number 2.
Lesbian catfight?
Yeah.
Speaking of lesbians, Paris Hilton, word is she is quite smitten with another young lady by the name of Annabelle Dexter Jones, daughter of Mick Jones from the band Foreigner.
Yeah.
Okay.
Now that she's broken up with the love of her life, Benji Madden, she said that a friend of hers says to the New York Post that she got tired of being out of the limelight. That's why she broke up with Benji. She wanted to return to her pre-Benji hard-partying, paparazzi-inducing ways. And word is now she is hot for this chick, Annabelle Dexter Jones. Oh, Paris. Lesbian starlets are like so 5 minutes ago.
But okay, still.
Lindsay beat you to that. Yeah, this girl's pretty hot, too, this Annabelle Dexter Jones. So let's hope for the best, huh?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
ABC Television made a ton of changes yesterday. Some good, some bad, because they affect some of my favorite shows. The good news is they've ordered 4 more episodes of the new series Life on Mars. Have you been watching Life on Mars?
No.
Excellent show.
I've heard it's great.
Really, really good.
I feel like I like it.
Doing a hell of a job with it, I'm telling you. They are the really excellent, excellent work.
That's where they go back in time, and he's a cop in the 70s.
Dude has a car, gets hit by a car, has an accident while he's in the line of duty. And when he wakes up, he's in 1974, and he can't figure out what the hell's going on. Is it a dream? Is he unconscious back in the hospital back in 2008? Or was the 2008 part a dream? He just doesn't know what's going on. But it's a fascinating, fascinating television. Very entertaining. And a really good cop show on top of it. So
awesome.
It's got all that going for it. It's going to be paired with new episodes of Lost when it comes back in the end of January. So it'll be a double shot of Life on Mars and Lost, which is a good combo. Scrubs, the season premiere has been announced. It will debut January 6th on ABC. It's moving from NBC to ABC, so we've got that. However, not so much good news for a couple of ABC shows that were some of my favorites.
Like?
Eli Stone.
Canceled. Oh, I like that show. Really?
Canceled. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye, Eli.
That's too bad.
That was a good show. Eli! I'm canceled.
Be very sad.
Not that Eli.
Dirty Sexy Money, which I enjoy the hell out of. Great nighttime soap with Peter Krause and Donald Sutherland.
Yep.
Apparently going by the wayside as well. And Pushing Daisies.
No kidding.
Wow.
Which I find charming and entertaining as well.
They all suffered from the writer's strike, didn't they?
It did cause a big gap in their series.
Because they were doing pretty well before.
Yeah. So, sad news. Yeah. I like all of those shows. but I get some more life on Mars. So that's good news.
So that's good. One of the shows that you like a lot coming back.
And lastly, now we know why John Lennon was so popular. New book out today called The Lennon Prophecy, The New Examination of the Death Clues of the Beatles. Author Joseph Nisgada tells us that John Lennon made a pact with Satan.
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes, he did.
That's why he was massively successful.
How can I do that?
John made a pact with Satan, Lisa, for massive earthly success in exchange for his soul.
Right. Where do you sign up?
The 20-year deal began December 27th, 1960, when the Beatles played the Town Hall Ballroom in Litherland, England.
Okay.
That's when he talked to Satan and made the deal, according to the author. The deal ran out on December the 8th, 1980, when John Lennon was gunned down outside his apartment building by Mark David Chapman, who told police he was possessed by demons. Hello?
All comes full circle.
That? Satan dropping by to pick up his paycheck.
Wow. Almost 20 years to the day.
What's due him. So now we know why Lennon was so popular.
Okay. Yay.
Satan. Yeah, I thought the guy was talented and was an entertaining singer and a good songwriter.
So. All his talk about peace just throwing us off.
See what he did there?
Yep.
He was probably scared for his immortal soul because he knew it was going to Satan, so he's trying to do the best he could on Earth while he could.
Yep.
Because he knew it was all over. What's this going to do to Linda Pauly? She's going to spin out.
Oh, that's right. She does talk to him on a daily basis.
I know. Or does she?
Well,
right. Not if he's down below instead of up above.
Good point.
You dig?
I dig.
You dig, Daddy-O?
We cool.
All right. Celebrity birthdays today. Goldie Hawn is 63 years old. Brian Ritchie, bassist for the Violent Femmes, turns 48. Nicolette Sheridan is 45. She, of course, of Desperate Housewives. Jenna Maloney.
Ooh.
Or Malone, depending on how you pronounce her name, from Saved and Life is a House. She's 24. And singer Bjork celebrates her 43rd birthday today. Take that bell and stick it right up your ass.
Yeah, no, she does not need a bell.
So she is so hot.
No new bell. Yeah. Anti-bell.
Love her so
opposite
much.
Of bell.
Super hot.
She's Leb.
Leb?
It's bell
it's
backwards.
Bell.
Wow.
Yeah, that's what she is.
Happy birthday to me, because the fairies will come with the gazelles of the mountain forest, and we will all drink from the spring of eternal condemnation.
Crazy-ass bitch. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We certainly have been talking a lot about The Twilight this week, I'll tell you that, and the day has finally arrived where you can go see it in theaters everywhere. We're very excited to welcome Kristen Stewart onto the show for the first time. She, of course, plays Bella in the movie. Hey, Kristen, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Thanks for joining us. I imagine that you have got to be very, very, very close to being done with promoting Twilight.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sort of a day close. I have a European press tour, but I think I'm done here in the States.
Oh, that's good. You are just going to go to bed and just sleep for like a month when it's finally over, aren't you?
Yeah.
You get tired of talking about something that you finished? How long ago did you finish it?
Actually, just in May. They turned it around real quick.
Oh, that is pretty fast.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know that you had the world premiere here a few days ago, so a lot of people have gotten to see the movie. What kind of reaction are you getting now from all these fans that you heard so much about from the time you were first named as the actress who's going to play Bella? Are they pretty pleased with what you did with the role?
I mean, as far as I can tell, there's not really like a solid, tangible place to see exactly what everybody thinks, you know? But from everything that people have told me, which also isn't really very many, there were a lot of daughters of studio executives and daughters of, like, famous people at the premiere. But I haven't talked to, like, real people who have seen it, so I don't know.
That's kind of the way those premieres go, is that people with the juice in town get their kids into it or whatever,
yeah,
you know, whoever right. wants to see it.
It's right. not the real.
It's not real the real
reaction,
group, right.
I don't think.
I mean, yeah. not that those kids aren't real kids.
Sure.
No, they're not. They're cartoons. A lot of people don't know.
Their parents pay them to be nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we're always fascinated with what it's like for an actor on a day like today when a big, highly anticipated movie is coming out. Are you going to be the type of person who is interested to get the updates on what the box office is going to be like throughout the day and throughout the weekend? Or do you feel like your job is done and the rest of it doesn't have anything to do with you?
It really has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm like kind of sitting back and watching what happens. But especially with this movie in this case, everybody's expecting it to just, like, do this crazy, like, box up. I mean, you just don't know. All those little equations that the studio gives you, they're just not real. You can't, there's no answer.
So. There are a lot of surprises on Mondays. I'll tell you that, where you come in, you go, wow, this studio can't possibly have predicted this and that, and
right.
it's tough.
Right.
You should have put some talking chihuahuas in your movie, Kristen. That's the key these days.
Yeah, apparently.
Now, I have a clip of you and Robert Pattinson, and you're trying to figure out what the hell is up with him. And he tells you it's probably best to stay away. You say you're not going to stay away, and you ask him if he'll tell you what's going on.
Did you tell me the truth?
No, probably not. I'd rather hear your theories.
I have considered radioactive spiders and kryptonite.
It's all superhero stuff, right? What if I'm not the hero? What if I'm the bad guy?
You're not.
But what if he is?
Yeah, but he's not.
Wow. But what if?
But no.
I am so encouraged, by the way, to see a 100-year-old get to hook up with a 17-year-old. I'm going to tell you, guys like me see that and we go, there's hope.
Oh, dear God.
This is creepy.
Well, yeah. I'm just saying the age difference. I mean, it seems like that's quite an age difference, Krista. That's all I'm suggesting. But you kids managed to work it out.
Yeah, man. Age is relative, you know.
Sure. Not for Bean. You needed to be a vampire about 40 years ago, Bean. When you were born, if you became a vampire, you might still look good. But
I know we don't have much time with you, Kristen, but I do have to ask because there are so many Twilight fans, and believe me, we've heard from them, the twerds and the vampires and the twihards. We've heard from all of them this week. What's the talk on the other books being turned into movies? Is that going to happen? And if so, what's the timetable like?
At this point, we're pretty positive we're going to go in the beginning of next year. But I don't want to speak. I mean, until we, when on Monday we, like, die and we've done terribly, then I will be eating my words. But
yeah. I don't think there's a chance in hell that that's going to happen. I don't think you guys are going to die on Monday. I think you're pretty safe.
Are you superstitious about stuff like that? Like, don't jinx it?
Yeah, definitely.
Stupid Lisa. Right?
Well, come on, but theaters have been sold out for weeks.
I'm just saying.
Yeah, but then you got guys like Kevin who literally has a bet on the Twilight box office this weekend,
I do.
By the way. You got people out there. It's turned into a national obsession. It's just crazy. Well, it looks like it was a lot of fun to make, Kristen, and I know that you're probably very excited to get it to the fans, and we're very excited to have been able to talk to you on the show about it. I hope it does great business for you, and I hope you get to play this role as long as you want to.
Me too, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kristen.
Bye now. Oh, Chinese democracy! China is gonna happen! By the only surviving member of the band is Chinese democracy outside the window! Chinese democracy beyond the trees! I wish that we could see why it took 14 years to make one city, and it's Chinese democracy outside the window, please!
A lot of people said that the Guns N' Roses Chinese Democracy album would come out when we get a black president in this country. And who knew that both would happen at about the same time? Because it is finally arriving in stores at Best Buy.
Best Buy!
Thank you. On Sunday, 14 years in the making, Guns N' Roses delivered Chinese Democracy. And on the phone with us right now, the lead singer of that band, the only remaining member of that band, Axl Rose. Hey, Axl. Well, first of all, like I said, a lot of people thought this day would never come. Congratulations. How do you feel knowing that your masterwork is finally about to be released?
Can you only answer over Welcome to the Jungle song? Okay.
All right, we, of course, have played some of a little bit of it here and there on the radio station, but now that we have the full album in hands, Kevin, I understand we have some clips to give people an opportunity to find out what they're going to get when they buy the record this weekend.
The first one is the title track, Chinese Democracy.
Axel, let me ask you this. Are you making a political statement about human rights in China in that song?
No, I'm really not. Just rhyming masturbation with nature.
Masturbation in nature. Yeah, that's true. I guess when you put it that way.
Here's a song called Shackler's Revenge.
Who is Shackler, and what's his revenge all about, Axel?
Shackler's a guy who says that he's coming back for revenge.
Wait, I could have got that from the title.
Hey, Okay. Was it difficult for you to make this a cohesive record when you hired and fired so many different musicians throughout the many, many years that you were putting it together? Okay, I guess that makes sense. As long as you're in the band, you know what you want, sure.
Here's another clip from Chinese Democracy. This song is called Better.
Tell us about that one, Axel.
But what's the reference to the way they used to be?
They used to be real bad, now they've gotten better.
Right, but what does real bad mean?
They got bad when you're taking 14 years to make an album.
Oh, see, that makes sense.
Hey, Axel, how do you feel about Dr. Pepper giving away free sodas to everyone in America starting Sunday, because the record is actually coming out?
I love Dr. Pepper. It's got 23 different flavors.
Oh, are they doing a deal with you? Is that part of it?
No, it's not a deal. I just really love Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
Can you talk to us at all just one time in your regular voice before you go?
Sure, I've got no problem talking in a regular voice.
No, but I mean without singing, without making it sound like you're singing Welcome to the Jungle. You just talk to us just like a regular dude.
I really love hot Cheetos. I really love them.
He loves hot Cheetos.
Well, we want to give you tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas Shows, just announced on the Kevin and Bean program yesterday. Two big nights at the Gibson Amphitheater, December 13th and 14th. Tremendous lineup. A lot of details at krock.com. But the important one is this. When you hear Plush by STP, which could play at any time, any minute, it could be next on the Kevin and Bean Show, be caller 20, and you'll win tickets to see them in concert for K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. And we'll be doing that, as I understand it, Kevin, I think all weekend long. We'll always have a song for you to listen to.
Let's talk about Celebrity Rehab, one of the best shows on TV with Dr. Drew.
Yes.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Steven Adler, former drummer for Guns N' Roses, got fired for doing too many drugs in the 80s.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Should have asked Axel about him, but I have a feeling I know what his answer would have been.
Jeff Conaway is coming back. He was on the first season. He's the dude that was in Taxi and a bunch of other stuff. Grease, I think.
Grease 2
I
don't know. Or whatever.
And he's back. Rodney King, the dude who was beat before the 1991 riots.
Uh-huh.
He's back. Tawny Kitaen, the actress and model. She was in the Whitesnake video and married to Chuck Finley. Beat him up in a car. Nikki McKibben, former American Idol contestant. Amber Smith, super hot model.
Mm-hmm.
Sean Stewart, Rod Stewart's kid.
Yeah.
A-hole.
Famous for nothing else.
And Gary Busey, crazy.
Yes, exactly.
So they're all actual celebrities, quote-unquote celebrities, and they all have actual drug problems, some of them very, very serious. And they go on this TV show, which struck everybody as weird when Celebrity Rehab first debuted. Like, why put them on TV? Shouldn't it be kind of a private thing? Dr. Drew has a great answer, which is, look, anything that I can do to make these people get help, even if it's them hanging on to the last bit of fame that they can find by being on television, I'm willing to do. And he and his staff work really, really hard to seriously help these people, and they don't always appreciate it.
Not always, no. People like Jeff Conaway, who, remember last time I played clips, he was yelling 911, and we were saying we didn't know that's how it works. He went to a phone, picked it up, and called the police.
Yeah.
And they came to the rehab, and they were talking to him with Dr. Drew. And Jeff Conaway told the police this, and this is what gives me the idea he might not understand rehab.
I'm in pain, and they don't give me anything for it.
Wait a minute. They don't give you anything for the pain in rehab?
They're not giving
don't they have drugs?
Hey, I don't get drugs in here. What's going on? So Dr. Drew, with the police there, says, we'll release you to the hospital if you want. If you want to go home, you're free to.
Right.
And he goes, no, I'll stay. So the police turn around and leave, and Jeff Conaway stays. He goes to bed, gets a good night's sleep, wakes up in the morning. He's magically healed from all of his back pain.
I think God touched me in my sleep. I think he gave me the dream that I was going to be okay, and I woke up, felt no pain. I got out of bed, there was no pain. I'm absolutely fantastic.
Yes.
How long do you think this will last?
Great news. He walks into group and tap dances for everyone.
Yeah.
This is a guy who arrived in a wheelchair, by the way.
Yes.
He's still stooped over a little bit.
He's a stooped tap dancer, but he's tap dancing. Amber Smith, super hot model, mad at Jeff Conaway because he's able to throw temper tantrums and get away with all kinds of stuff, and everybody considers her a bitch if she loses her temper. Well, this is the part of the show where they've gone through a lot of the withdrawal. It's day 11, and a lot of the anger is coming out. Dr. Drew explains on the show, for the first time, these people are dealing with emotions in a long time because mm-hmm. they've been kind of hiding it. And Amber is upset that she can't get away with it as well, and Dr. Drew helps her.
Amber, tell me to f*** off.
Yourself.
Yes. You're good at it. I ain't going anywhere. It's good for you. Well done.
That's true. Like that,
I don't like it. It's one thing. I'm not going anywhere.
Is it bad that I want her to talk to me that way as well?
It was kind of hot.
It was kind of hot, right?
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. Wow. I was like, Dr. Drew, get into it. Mm-hmm. So they go to art therapy. Now, I've never heard of this, but I guess you go and you draw your feelings. You let the pain out somehow.
Yeah.
And they're doing art, and they each get up and they have a turn explaining what their art means to the group. And Rodney King, who is the nicest, kindest 8-year-old kid still.
Yes, exactly.
Explains his drawing and then is immediately followed up by Sean Stewart. Now, what happens with a lot of people is the drugs hide who they really are. And for the most part, they're better people as they come through the withdrawals and they get off the drugs. Mm-hmm. Sean Stewart is really just an a-hole from the beginning. And you take the drugs away and all you've got is a-hole. So here's Rodney King followed by Sean Stewart.
This is the sky. This is the ocean. But we haven't been able to connect that bridge. So hopefully all the little kids that's just like smiling a little bit, maybe they can take us the rest of the way. Mm. No problem.
Right, Rodney.
John?
This is my high school. That's me getting punched in the face.
Okay, not quite the same, but all right. Okay. And then Gary Busey, in the first moment of actual self-realization and emotion, he has drawn the day he died in a motorcycle accident. And it was kind of an out-of-body experience. He's talking about, you know, what the picture is, angels of provinciality or something like that. And then all of a sudden he breaks down.
These are the angels of provinciality which floated all around me. They guide you. They protect you. Ah, boy.
And that's the first time I thought, wait a minute, Gary Busey is a real person.
I know.
Because
right.
Before, he's been a cartoon character.
Yeah.
He hasn't been hurt by anything. He's, you know, denies the truth. He's just been out of his mind. So they come out of
I mean, that's part of what rehab is all about, is those moments of clarity where you have some awareness of what's going on in the world and your place in it, right?
So Jeff Conaway, touched by God in a dream. Now he's healthy.
Mm-hmm.
Gary Busey, breakthrough in art therapy. They walk out of art therapy and head for the front seat of the van that's waiting for them, the car.
Yeah.
And they fight over the front seat like 2-year-olds. I got front. No, let's win. And a shoving match ensues.
Don't you put your hands on me.
I didn't.
You did.
I didn't.
Don't put your hands on me. You did.
Don't.
You shoved me backwards, you.
Yep.
Dude.
Oh.
So the progress is short-lived.
Yeah, really. All these good feelings, and they're all clapping, and they have breakthroughs, and then they practically kill each other.
So there was kind of a pushing fight. Gary Busey has been denying it the whole time, and that just makes Jeff Conaway a lot more angry. And he brings in the a-hole Sean Stewart to help him out.
Gary, you put your hands on me and pushed me. Sean saw it.
You went like this.
I was falling back.
Falling back what, into the car?
Sean, you weren't there.
I saw it.
You weren't my body.
I saw the...
That's true. Sean Stewart was not in his body.
Hard to argue.
But he's still denying that he pushed him, and he clearly did. But he didn't really. He just kind of blocked him.
He kind of blocked him, and everyone's just losing their mind.
Well, I think they all have a lot of emotion. They don't know why. Yeah. And so they explode this tiny, tiny little thing into a huge deal. So Sean Stewart's walking around trying to rally the troops against Gary Busey because, you know, he pushed Jeff Conaway and blah, blah, blah.
He's out of control.
Yes. And Sean Stewart is talking to a therapist as they walk down the hall about it. And Gary Busey jumps up, runs past the cameraman. And just about looked to me like he was going to kill him. Stopped short, but was very scary.
He goes in the car, and he goes like this. He goes,
come in here.
Let me show you. First of all, don't touch me. Don't touch me. You see that? Did you see that?
I fell.
He's like a 12-year-old.
I fell.
I'm not going to deal with this.
Okay, so he didn't really push him. He just kind of...
trying to pull him into a room, right?
But not much.
And then when he gets accused of... practically attacking Sean Stewart, he says, as he always says, I fell.
No, I didn't push, I fell.
Which makes no sense.
Awesome, because first he fell into Conaway when they were fighting over the front seat. Now he falls over Sean Stewart. And so then Sean Stewart, being the a-hole, walks up and down the hallways telling people that he was attacked by Gary Busey. No details, just says it and moves on.
He just attacked me.
What?
He just attacked me.
What do you mean?
He just attacked me.
What?
He did?
Yeah.
And everybody's asking, what? And then he moves on to somebody else. He just attacked me. What? What do you mean? Walks on to somebody else. What an a-hole.
He just tried to pull him into a room.
I freaking hate him.
I do, too.
They need to start voting people out every week like they do on Big Brother.
So Busey's still denying it, and Conway's still pissed.
You're a liar!
Hey, relax there, Jeff. Come on, buddy.
I'll pray for you tonight.
Oh, you shove it up your ass. Everybody knows you're crazy, and everybody knows you're a liar.
Why am I the enemy?
Because you're acting like it.
Okay, so still upset. Now Sean Stewart's getting back into it, and Sean is threatening Gary because you don't put hands on Sean Stewart.
Next time you put your hands on me, I'm going to call the cops on you, Holmes. I'm more mature than you.
Busey laughs at him. I'm going to call the cops on you, Holmes.
The next time we have Dr. Drew on, we have to ask how often the police have to come to his rehab facility. This is twice in this episode that they've either come or been threatened to be called.
What? Next time you put your hands on me, I'm going to call the cops on you, Holmes.
Holmes. Holmes, I'm going to call the cop on you, Holmes. God, I hate that guy. So Gary Busey and Jeff Conaway have a heart-to-heart. They sit down outside, and Busey is trying to apologize. He starts off with his regular line of BS about how the planets are out of alignment and all that kind of stuff. But then he snaps, too, and actually apologizes.
You know the reason? The emotions are running wild. The moon is full in Venus or Mars. I think it's in Mars. That's a warring planet.
Okay, so he's not getting anywhere yet because of the planets. Mm-hmm. And he just immediately drops that and then apologizes for real.
What I did was wrong in fighting for the front seat. And I ask you for forgiveness. My love for you lives 5,000 miles past heaven.
Wow.
Dude.
How much does he love Conaway?
A lot.
No My kidding. Love for you lives 5,000 miles past heaven? I can't tell if he's a normal person or if he's just bizarre or if he's got mental problems or all of the above.
All of the above. Absolutely.
He's crazy.
Well, he better get a spinoff out of this. That's all. I cannot go. When this show ends, I don't want to live in a world where there's no Busey on my TV.
And there's one other storyline, and that is Steven Adler. And Steven Adler, who has had huge problems. He's the dude kicked out of Guns N' Roses for doing too many drugs in the 80s.
Stroke out.
And that really takes something. He says that his mom got divorced. Remarried, the guy she married to said it's me or him, so his mom kicked him out on the street.
When
literally moved his stuff out onto the street when he was a kid. And so there has to be a showdown, of course, so they bring in the mom, and the mom takes full and complete responsibility, and the healing begins.
Doctor, I'm telling you that I've always been there for you.
You know what?
Steve, we gotta stay.
Take care. Bye bye. You.
Steven.
No, no. She's full of shit and she's lying.
But you can tell her that over here.
Steven, tell her about it.
And he storms out. Oh, wait, that didn't happen. She didn't. She said she was always there for him.
Yeah, she didn't admit to one thing.
Which is absurd. And does it make me a bad guy that next week, and dear God, I work with abused women and children, so this isn't funny, but it's Amber Smith.
I know. Yeah.
Did you see the tease for next week?
No.
What happens?
Towards the end, when I didn't have money, I had sex for money.
I was on the cover of French Vogue, and then someone was using that to sell me.
Oh.
Yeah.
Dude.
But
when and where?
Yeah. But dude, you know, I mean, does that make me the devil? I mean, dude.
Let's not, hold on so fast, we're getting her off drugs, Drew.
No, stop.
I can't wait for next week. I'm going to call the police on you, Holmes.
I will call the police, Holmes.
Holmes.
I used to deal with things differently, but now I'm going to call the police, Holmes.
Like Abuse said, son, if I hit you properly, you'd be down.
He just threatened me again. He just threatened me.
I didn't threaten you. I'm just telling you how it works.
Well, celebrity rehab, too, is strong.
Ralph, it seems like so much fun. You ought to make it one of your career goals to appear on Celebrity Rehab somehow. You need to somehow figure out a way to get into that group.
It's funny, when I do watch, and I watch now every Thursday night, I'm just addicted. I sit down with a big tumbler full of vodka on ice, and I cut myself a couple rails. And I just sit back, and I just watch the magic unfold.
It's the best way to enjoy that show.
While I also imbibe, because it makes me feel like, F you.
Let me tell you about the upcoming 7 o'clock hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show. First of all, if you're 21 and up and you're a female who's got the goods, we want to talk to you about being Miss Double December 2009. We'll give you all those details after the news. Also, Ralph will have the movie beat because it's Friday. We'll catch up with our old friend Sean Connery. And anytime you hear the song by STP known as Plush, be caller 20 and win tickets to see them at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. That's all straight ahead in the next 60 minutes or so here on K-Rock. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat for Friday. What's going on?
So what do you think even you non-Evite responders, is the legitimate time frame for an Evite response? What do you feel?
I'd say any time up to a week before the party.
Is that really what you think? That's really how you roll a week before a party?
Unless someone bothers to give me a respond by date.
Ooh.
Oh.
Burn!
So
you think that you can't figure out what you're going to be doing until a week ahead?
Maybe
is that what
not.
You're saying?
Maybe not.
Ralph, they're waiting for a better party.
That's what's happening.
Come
on,
people.
I sent my eval out over 2 weeks ago. There are 70 people who still haven't decided yet whether they're going to come or not. They can't make up their mind. Really? Come on. Seriously? 70 people just sitting back on. Gosh, now for the past 2 weeks I've thought about it and I just can't decide whether to go eat free food and drink and have a good time at a party or not. It's just too huge a decision.
Buy all the alcohol. You'll go through it by the end of the year anyway.
People have bought homes in less time. They have made much larger decisions than whether or not just to check off the yes or no box on my goddamn Evite.
2 weeks
party
now. Is 2 weeks from now, right?
Yeah. I sent it a month out in advance, the Evite, to give people plenty of time so they could look well ahead into their schedules and say, no, we don't have any plans for that date. Absolutely we can go. Or, no, gosh, we've had this on the books for months. I know we won't be able to make it. But not, I'll just sit around for 2 weeks, eat Cheetos.
Hot Cheetos, first of all. I've never seen someone throw a party that makes them more unhappy, though, than Ralph.
The party will not make me unhappy. I'll have a great time at the party. But when you're having a large group of people over, there is some planning involved.
Sure.
You got to know how much food to get and booze to get and that kind of stuff. And it just would help enormously if somebody would say, can't make it.
This is not a party atmosphere
at
all.
That's true. That is true.
I know you resist, but promise me next year you'll just put a please respond by date and see what happens.
It blows
my
mind that I have to even do that for people.
But just do it anyway.
Can I answer?
If 70 people aren't responding, Lisa, it's not that they need some sort of prompting.
You might be surprised.
It is a general malaise. It is an atmosphere of rudeness that exists in the world today.
Can I try to answer the question again? Can I try to answer the question again? How long after you get the Evite should you respond?
Yes.
15 seconds.
That's an answer. Now, okay. That's an answer I can live with.
All right.
No, I would take a week. Take a week to think it over after you get the Evite. Take a week.
What you're going to do every year is the same exact thing
and then complain
when you get the same exact result.
No, we're going to be whittling down the list considerably next year. Don't worry about it.
70 names that have an RSVP.
There is a list now of people I can count on to be jackholes.
I don't care whether it's a party or anything else. If somebody who you're friends with asks you a question that requires a response, it is just courtesy to respond in a timely fashion. That's all Ralph is saying. I couldn't agree with him more on this one.
I mean, even
Lisa. No one cares what
Lisa has responded by this point.
Because you scared me.
Because you're beating us all up. We're afraid of you.
Would you not have answered if I hadn't scared you, Lisa? You would just. I would ask you a question, are you coming to a party night, and you would just ignore that question for as long as you wanted.
No,
that's what you would do.
I would have eventually answered. It might not have been the day I got the invitation, which I did this time because you're scary.
Well, then maybe you needed a little fear of God put in you.
You're
maybe
the Gary Busey of this show.
Maybe that's what everybody needs.
You put your hands on me, I'm going to call the police, Holmes.
If I'd hit you, you'd be down.
You know what I think it is, honestly, is that I think... it won't make much difference if I show up or not. I don't think like 70 other people are thinking that way. To me, I just think,
you'll drop by.
You're just one person, one way or the other. That's what you're thinking.
So what difference does it make? But if everyone does that, then of course it's a nightmare.
Yeah.
So you're right. But stop scaring us.
But we wouldn't have asked you to come if we didn't want you to be there.
I'll call the police, Holmes.
But even Kevin's responded. He couldn't manage the Evite.
I deleted it.
He did corner me in the hallway and say, dude, I'm coming, but I don't know how. I think I deleted the Evite. Can I tell you verbally? Is there a way
too many emails.
I can check in with you now and you'll know that I'm coming?
So. I was looking for the roundhouse punch, but you were okay and I didn't have to block, so everything was cool.
No. I went on and checked the box for you, Ken.
So we cool?
We cool.
All right,
let's talk showbiz in the minute I have left after my Evite rant.
Not going.
Congratulations.
That'll be funny.
I will come to your house. I will wait to a certain time of the party, and if you're not there, I will drive to your home.
Kidding.
I will leap over the wall.
I'm just kidding.
And there, it'll be like that movie, The Strangers, with Liv Tyler. I'll be wearing a pillowcase.
Why are you doing this?
There's going to be an axe at some point. It's going to be bad. Congratulations to Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz.
Oh!
They finally had their baby, so now they can talk about how Pete sings to her belly and how blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Oh!
The only thing people are going to be talking about now is the fact that they named their child Bronx.
Bronx.
Bronx Mowgli Wentz. Mowgli is perhaps the worst celebrity name I've ever heard for a baby.
Yeah, I don't even know what that's from.
Beyond Apple and all that madness. Mowgli was the little kid in Jungle Book. Did you ever see the Disney movie Jungle Book with Baloo the bear and that whole...
Sure, that was the little kid.
Mowgli was the kid in Jungle Book.
Wow. So in this case, if he doesn't want to use his first name, he's saddled with a worse middle name.
Yeah. But his initials, at least, are BMW.
I wouldn't be surprised if they knew that when they chose
those names. Of course
they
knew that. Oh, never has so much ill will been dumped upon a newborn, by the way.
That's right.
Just because of his parents. The baggage this kid's carrying, I'll tell you.
Ralph, do you know if this the name Bronx, is this one of those deals where they named him after where he was
conceived?
Created?
Probably not that.
Let me read into
that crass. I'm sure they had some creative, wild idea why.
No. Doesn't say here that what the point behind the name
Bronx
was.
Mowgli.
Bronx Mowgli.
Has Bronx responded to his RSVP yet? Does it say if he's checked yes
he
or no?
He has, oddly enough.
Bronx has, yes. Because he's a decent newborn. That's what he is. Guy Ritchie and Madonna have reached a divorce settlement.
That was quick.
Yeah, I think Guy Ritchie's like, look, whatever.
No kidding.
Whatever it takes. And that's what it sounds like, because the deal is they just keep their own money.
Mm-hmm. He is legally
entitled to a big share of her assets, but he is like, you know what? He's like a blackjack dealer. Good luck, everybody. He's just clapping his hands and walking away from the table.
I'm glad that he's doing that, because this law was not created for them. They both have money.
They both have plenty of
so
money.
So he shouldn't take her money.
He doesn't want a penny of her money, which, you know what, is smart for him, because then she'll never be able to come back and say, well, look how much of my fortune that you have, blah, blah, blah. Here's how we should raise our kids. The only thing he wants is shared custody of their two sons, Rocco and David, and they were able to negotiate an agreement that allowed the boys to split their time between London and New York, which is convenient for them.
Sure. Yeah.
And that's all that matters. Transatlantic flights every weekend. That'll be good.
Yeah. Am I dumb that I don't understand how a director like Guy Ritchie, talented guy with a few movies under his belt, can be worth $50 million? I mean, how does a guy make that kind of money with his career?
He's always written and well has produced his films, and although he is known as sort of a quirky, artistic, independent director here in the States. In the UK, his movies are massive hits.
Oh, no kidding.
So in his profit...
And he gets all the money.
In his profit participation, well, not all of it, obviously, but in his profit participation, he has gotten a nice payday out of a couple of his bigger films, like Lock, Stock, and Snatch.
Love that movie.
So they did real well for themselves. He's got Rock and Roller coming out, too. I don't know. I don't think it's out yet, but I'm really looking forward to it.
It's been out in L.A.
Is it out in L.A. already?
Yeah. Very limited, though, I think.
Yeah. I want to check that when I get a chance. Today's celebrity birthdays, Jenna Malone from Saved and Life is a House. She's 24 years old today. Nicolette Sheridan turns 45 from Desperate Housewives. Brian Ritchie of the Violent Femmes. He's the bass player for that particular band. He's 48.
You know he gets more Ritchie every time we play the Violent Femmes? Did you know that? I don't get a chance to recycle that one very often.
There's a reason.
I got to jump in when I can.
Goldie Hawn is 63 years old today, and Bjork celebrates her 43rd birthday. Oh, stop it. It's one thing if you find her attractive and you're in the bubble and that's where you live, but they hit the bell as if she's just widely considered as this international sex symbol. It's just madness.
She's very sexy, though.
She is not.
She's very sexy.
She's a weird little gnome.
We can accept that you think she's very sexy, but you're not speaking for everybody when you ring the bell.
So
I have to take her to sack, too. You got to. Oh, that hurts me. That really hurts.
Take those back.
Sorry.
I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
If you are a lady and you've got them and you're 21 and up and perhaps you'd like to be Miss Double December 2009, then we have great news for you. There is a very limited window of opportunity for you to apply right now. In fact, we just kicked it off this past Monday and we close the entries being received this coming Monday at midnight. By then, we should have all the entries in and then we whittle them down to the top 10. The K-Rock audience votes on who's going to be Miss Double December 2009. You get tickets to both nights of the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008 and to backstage passes. By the way, you get the special VIP passes. You also get tickets for the Wedding Roast and you get to join us throughout the year for lots of events. And I got to tell you, it is the most wonderful time of the year when we start talking Miss Double D.
Yes, it is. Monday at midnight, again, the deadline. Enter online. Don't lie about your age.
Here she comes. She's our Miss Double December. She's an angel and just look at those cans. She's got big guns, baby. She's got the hoots. Boy, how she gets me excited. Hey, Hey, look, my is hard.
Got a lot of new women that are applying. Mm-hmm. We have some highlights from last year's ceremony, which happened live, and it's going to happen again this year live on December 5th when we crown a new Miss Double December. This is from last year.
Miss Double December for 2008 is Cassidy, everybody. Cassidy is our winner.
How do you feel, Cass?
Everyone who voted.
Kind of breathless right now. I was not expecting this, but I feel bitching. They are real.
Crown change hands. I forget.
Well, if you ever listen to the show, you know that the crown actually changes hands through a passionate kiss from the former Miss Double December.
Oh, that's
to the
right.
Miss Double
that's
December.
Right. I remember that now that you say that. Yes. I do remember that.
So we can have our current Miss Double December, Lauren, come up on stage.
All right.
Miss Double December for next year. Cassidy, please share.
Oh!
Oh, my goodness gracious.
Beautiful.
The crown has been passed. Double December 2008.
Do we put this entire thing together so we can see two hot chicks kiss once?
Yeah.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Pretty much.
Wouldn't it be awesome if standing in front of the Capitol on January 20th, that's how you became the new president? Wouldn't it be awesome if
you have to kiss the old president,
George Bush?
That would be pretty funny.
But it goes back a number of years. I mean, Cassidy received the honor from Lauren, who received it from Yasmin, who received it from Christy, who received it from Veronica, and Melissa before her. And then Bridget was the first Miss Double December all those long years ago. But you can be next. And as we mentioned, the deadline is this Monday night at midnight. Then I guess the time frame is we put them up on the website. And you get a few days for the K-Rock listeners to vote, maybe over Thanksgiving weekend or something. We have the top 10 finalists that you will be voting for. And then we all get together and do another live broadcast and crown next year's winner. So it's going to be very, very exciting.
Miss Alex has come in and told us that we need to tell people to not lie about your age. She was very angry about one woman who's super hot but looks 45 and wants a celebrity to be stranded on an island with Richard Dean Anderson.
Okay, we're going back a ways.
You might want to pick somebody in the last, say, 30 years.
Update.
There is a questionnaire that we ask you to fill out so we get a little bit, learn a little bit about your personality. I mean, you're probably thinking it's just all about your enormous tatas, but we want to get to know you as a person. That's what that questionnaire is about.
Danielle answered, what celebrity would you want to be stranded on an island with Barack Obama so I could tap that?
Okay.
All right.
He's a good looking man.
Fine with us. So you go to krock.com, go to the Kevin and Bean page. You can fill out the information, send in a photo. You have until Monday at midnight to enter. And then starting Wednesday, we're going to start the voting and we will pick a new Miss Double December.
7:25 on the Kevin and Bean Show Friday morning. That means Ralph's here with the movie beat.
In a world, someone has been watching. One man who risked everything.
Sorry, I have not seen any of your films.
Without seeing the movies. Ralph Garman's Movie Beat. Welcome to my world.
Hey, kids, only three movies of note in Southland Cineplexes this weekend, but I want to give you a little mention about each of them. First and foremost, in limited release, is a little movie I've been hearing about for a long time now. I think it was made back in 2006.
Okay.
Called Special. Stars Michael Rapaport, who's a great character actor, and he plays a meter reader. Guy who is a meter maid, basically, you know,
right.
On ticketing cards. And he has an unexpected reaction to an antidepressant medication he's taken as part of a clinical trial.
Mm-hmm.
He's suddenly convinced he's a superhero.
Is he a superhero?
No.
Oh.
But it makes him a little off in the head, and he's convinced that these pills are giving him superpowers.
Okay.
So he makes his own costume and starts patrolling the streets trying to save people from bad guys.
That sounds funny.
And the drug company, fearing bad publicity about the drug, set out to bring him down. But he just assumes they're his new arch nemesis and starts fighting back. So it is sort of a dark satire. But I've heard a lot of good things about this movie. So it's in limited release. Maybe if you see it this weekend, you might want to check it out. Also opening this weekend is the new Disney film Bolt. New animated kids movie featuring John Travolta as the voice of Bolt, a celebrity dog with a hit TV show, who thinks that he can really do in real life what he does on the TV show, which is all done with special effects and props and stuff.
But he can't.
He can't. He's just a regular dog.
It's not a TV show.
But he's got a heart as big as all get out.
Sure?
Oh, I bet he learns an important lesson at the end. And he's got a little hamster friend who rolls around in a ball.
Oh, with John Travolta, how could I not go see this? Easily. Here is a scene. Did I mention Miley Cyrus is the voice of his owner and co-star?
You did not know.
Yeah, so she's in it, too. Here is a scene where Bolt rescues Mittens, which I can only assume is a cat.
Sure.
From the pound.
Mittens? Bolt? What are you doing here?
I'm busting you out.
You came all the way back here for me?
Yeah.
But how'd you... I mean, you don't have any superpowers.
I know.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy day for you, huh?
It's been a lot. Yes, it has.
Oh, Bolt. Okay.
So if you've seen Madagascar, now you got something else to go to, I guess.
Yeah, it seems perfectly heartwarming for kids. I'm sure they'll get a big kick out of it. And John Travolta, I think, is best served heard, not seen. So I think it all works out on so many levels for a lot of people.
Kevin, you have to be so happy that your kids are now old enough that you don't automatically have to go see all these little Disney animated movies.
Although you do size them up like that, knowing that you're going to have to go see a certain amount of them, this doesn't look too bad at all.
Looks fine. Yeah. Dave the King of Mexico was super excited about seeing this, by the way, and went to a special screening.
Okay.
And so I said, Dave, how'd you like it? I fell asleep.
Really?
It was so dark in there. I was like, yeah, that's usually how they show movies.
They do turn out the lights.
They tend to bring the lights down.
And
I was super tired.
Can't judge that from Dave, though. He fell asleep at a Kiss concert with me in the middle of the afternoon one time. So
Dave, from what he saw of it, little bits and pieces, seemed to enjoy it.
So. I'll go again.
Yeah. Twilight.
That.
The big movie of the weekend. They're already calling it a cultural phenomenon, even though it hasn't been released yet. But look, here's the thing. I hate these people.
You hate who?
The people, the Twitards.
Oh.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I find the comparison, by the way, of the Twilight series and Harry Potter enormously insulting. Even though I'm not a huge Harry Potter fan, but this woman created a world and her own language and characters that are going to live on forever. The story of a girl who's attracted to a bad boy and he happens to be a vampire and he's dangerous and that sort of exciting. Come on.
It's pretty creative, I got to say. When I was reading it,
this premise, though, Lisa, has been driven into the ground.
It's as good as Harry Potter, but it's pretty
creative.
She's
apparently a good writer.
Yeah, she is.
Okay, but for the original storyline.
Attracted to a vampire because there's sort of a bad... He's the bad boy and she's the good girl who sees the good in him? This is not a fresh idea. This is not exactly groundbreaking. Here's Edward, the vampire, who comes to rescue Bella because the other bad guy,
dude,
Clevis,
yes,
is messing with her, and Edward will have none of it.
I chose my stage well. Oh, still stubborn, aren't we? Is that what makes you so special to Edward? You're alone. Because you're faster than the others. But not stronger. I'm strong enough to kill you.
Is that the Leonardo DiCaprio gay sex movie?
That's gay porn.
I think it was the same scene.
I'm pretty sure.
Yeah. This is based on the book Pretty People Whispering, right?
Yes, that's what it was originally titled, and they changed it to Twilight. Look, if you've seen, what was the vampire detective show that was on last season?
That was bad.
True Blood is doing what I can,
the same storyline.
From what I can determine in a little bit more adult, interesting way over there on HBO, this is not new territory. Anne Rice has covered this stuff, so go and enjoy, but please stop trying to tell me how this is going to change the world, Twitards. I know you've all got tickets for every showing between now and Sunday. And we'll see how much it does, because don't forget, Kevin and I, we've got a major wager.
We
have
a
bet. That's what I was going to say. Let's repeat that now so that we all know what we're talking about. We all have the deals. Kevin doesn't try to weasel out of it on Monday saying we remembered it wrong.
It's $5.
40 strings of beads, because we can't wager cash.
Money, right?
That's illegal.
I didn't mean dollars.
About the weekend take for Twihard. Apparently, Kevin thinks it will make over $70 million. I believe
70
make,
or more, I think, is he wins. Or more.
I believe less than $70 million. That's what I'm predicting.
It's a lot.
It's a lot of money.
Yeah, it is.
Might be a dumb bet.
Bond made that last week. And don't forget, Twilight will still have to be competing with Bond in its second weekend, which they say they don't expect it to drop off by that much.
So. But we also have a plus or minus 20 million.
I'm sorry, excuse me, what
plus happened? Or minus 20 million.
Say what now again, huh?
So, we got that one.
Where was the plus or minus 20 million?
I just added it right now.
Oh, really?
Just put it in.
Wow.
Is that cool?
Guy can get his kneecaps broken with that kind of talk. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the movie beat.
All that you know is at an end.
That was Ralph Garman. Ralph Garman. Movie beat.
You want to win some tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008? You can just be color 20 when you hear the song Miss Murder by AFI. It could play at any time. By the way, K-Rock's Kevin, here's something new that we're doing this year.
Mm-hmm.
If you hate us and don't want to have to tune in to find out what the song is to be listening for but still want to know what it is, you can just text the word acoustic to this address, 2-K-Rock, the number 2-K-Rock, and we will text you back and tell you what the song is that you're listening for. In fact, you can get updates all weekend long on which song is the one to be listening for on K-Rock to win the tickets. How about that?
That's pretty cool.
Not bad. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about this bizarre case out of England where this woman has a disease where she cannot recognize voices, including her own daughter's voice.
Wait, who just said that?
60-year-old British woman known only as KH. Apparently, unless she's looking at your face, she cannot recognize a voice, even her own daughter.
Isn't that bizarre?
You
so people call her on the
have?
Phone.
Yes, it would be so awesome.
You would screw with her all the time. So you call her on the phone. You could be her best friend for 40 years. You call her on the phone. She would not know who you were unless you identified yourself by name.
Wow, that is...
Even if you were standing behind her and she couldn't see you, she would not know who it was. She'd have to turn around and look. Then she would be able to kind of put the face, even people she's lived with her whole life.
Never heard
this
of that.
I haven't either. It's a neurological defect, and it is called, and I know I'm going to screw this up, prosopagnosia. Prosopagnosia is what it's called, and there are doctors now that are doing research on this woman and asking others to come forward, and about five or six already have contacted them saying, yeah, I think I have the same thing. And one of the curious things that they did in this study on this woman is they wanted to see if she could recognize famous people's voices because, you know, they're pretty recognizable. You hear them your whole life. So they, you know, got some tape of famous actors and actresses, people like David Beckham, for instance, who are so big in Britain that everybody knows what David Beckham sounds like. She had no idea who it was.
Yeah.
Only one voice was recognizable to this woman. How bizarre is that? She doesn't know her own daughter's voice, yet she recognizes the voice of Sean Connery when she hears it.
The only one. The one person on the planet that she recognizes is Sean Connery.
That's bizarre.
What are the chances of that? We thought this is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever heard. She said, yeah, his accent is so distinctive. But we got to find out what Sir Sean says about this. So we asked producer Alex to line him up, and we've got him on the phone right now. Good morning, Mr. Connery.
Hello,
Well, Sean, this is one of the more unusual stories we have ever heard. I know you were on hold. You heard us describing it to our listeners. What did you think when this one made the British press?
Well, I have to say I'm quite honored, actually, that my voice is the one she recognizes.
Strange story, though, huh?
Not really, when you consider I f***ed her in the...
Oh,
Sean.
That's why she remembers me.
Sean.
She remembers me saying, God damn it, you f***ed around my...
No, that didn't happen, Sean. You're just making stuff up. You don't know this woman. She's just a random woman living in Britain.
No, I'm pretty sure I f***ed her.
Wow.
If she lives in Britain and she was alive during the 60s, I probably f***ed her.
I see. All right.
So the reason that she can't recognize David Beckham's voice, for instance, as one that we mentioned, is because he hasn't met her yet.
That and Beckham's
okay, I don't
she
think
she probably
there's anything-
can't understand
Sean, we have
she
to
can only hear real men.
We have to watch our language, if you don't mind.
Feel free to watch your language. Leave my language the f*** alone.
All right, so she only recognizes your voice because of childhood trauma.
Not childhood trauma.
Oh.
From childhood bliss.
I see.
Childhood pleasure.
I see.
And if I remember this whore correctly, I think I in her ear.
Oh!
Why would you say something like that, Sean?
Because probably the magical properties of my strands of that have imprinted my DNA on her eardrum.
Come on!
And so when she hears my voice, it's like a choir of angels singing.
I think we get it.
In her
Oh,
Sean, I know you probably don't have time to watch a lot of TV, but I was watching Family Guy recently. You know that show? It's a cartoon, Sunday nights, Fox.
Family Guy is the one with the fat English butler and the guy who's got the two kids.
No.
Oh. That was a Family Affair. That's a different. Oh. This is a new animated show that's on the Fox network here in America.
And they were talking about having gay sex, and your name came up.
If you were gay and you had to have sex with either John Forsythe or Sean Connery, who would it be?
Oh, that's easy. John Forsythe.
Yeah, John Forsythe.
John Forsythe, absolutely. That's so funny. I would also say John Forsythe. I was just curious.
4 out of 4, dude. You lost.
So I don't get a chance to have sex with fat cartoon characters?
That's correct.
Oh, color me shattered.
But don't you win...
point are you trying to make?
Well, I'm saying none of them picked you.
Oh, gosh, I can't have sweaty gay sex with cartoon characters. You've hurt my feelings now, you tremendous
But I think the point is, why wouldn't they choose a virile Scottish Oscar-winning actor like you? Why would they stick with the old guy from Dynasty? That's a weird choice, we thought.
Gosh, it is. I guess you'll have to ask the cartoon characters why they feel that way.
We don't have them on speed dial.
You guys get paid for this job.
We do.
That's inexplicable.
All right, Sean. Well, as usual, you've set us straight. Thanks for coming on.
As usual, go f*** yourself.
You know, we started our Ask series when we ripped it off from good old what's-his-name? Wish I could
Gustavo
remember.
Gustavo Arellano.
Thank you.
With Ask a Mexican, right?
Thank you. He started it. We ripped it off from him. And now we're going to do Ask an NFL player in the next hour.
Dude, how are we going to find one on such short notice?
Sean Merriman is perhaps one of the best linebackers in the world. San Diego
and he
Chargers.
Happens to be in the building?
He's here.
He's here.
Yep. So we're going to do that next hour. Pretty exciting.
Lights
right?
out. Mm-hmm.
Here's a guy. I tell you, dedication and toughness. And once again, maybe we can ask him to settle our hash about who's the toughest athletes in sports, by
okay,
the way.
Okay, no, but all right.
What do you mean, no?
Because it depends on what position.
He's played professional hockey? Is that what you're saying?
He plays a position that is the toughest in the league.
Incorrect.
Okay.
Guy goes to 4 different doctors. They say, no, your knee's jacked up, man. You cannot play. It's just right. I would not get on that field. He goes, okay. I'm going to go play now.
See, if one doctor said, you could probably play. It's going to be painful, but you could play. I'm like, no. Give me a note. Get me out of work. I'm laying down. I'm watching the season on television.
And I need 3 weeks. By the way, I need more than just a week at that point.
Madness. Yeah. So tough.
He's a good guy. Sean Merriman joins us. Ask an NFL player after the news at 8 o'clock. And don't forget, you're listening for Miss Murder by AFI to win your tickets for the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008. Right now, Ralph's got the showbiz beat. What's going on?
Good guy. Nice man.
Nice man.
Okay. They finally had a baby.
Who?
Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz.
Oh, the bad people?
Yeah. And here's the thing. When I do the showbiz news, I like to the best of my ability read the stories that are out there in the morning and try to get my own take on it and try to, you know, put it in my own words and sort of give it my own feel.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But sometimes what would Tyler Durden do is so spectacular.
He's pretty funny.
That I can't help but read it verbatim. So let me just read for you from the What Would Tyler Do, TylerDurdenDo.com website, the entertainment news website, because he's just so spectacularly spot on. Ashley Simpson welcomed her first child last night, a son, with husband Pete Wentz. Was there any doubt these retards were giving the kid an awful, embarrassing name? They named him Bronx Mowgli Wentz. That's right, Bronx Mowgli, as in the kid from Jungle Book. It might as well be sexually confused emo, give me my book bag back. He'll be the most distinctive kid face down in mud while Mike and Jack high-five each other and walk away with the kids' lunch money. So, absolutely right. It's very spectacular. I think there is some sort of faulty logic with celebrities that if I give my kid a really special name, a really standout name, that somehow that will make them a distinctive and special person.
I wonder if they think that or if they think it reflects on them as wonderful creative people.
That we're so special.
Yes.
We can't just name our child a regular name.
I don't
because
know.
Because we're us.
They can't think about the kid because they should know the kid will get beaten up.
I know.
It is a little sense that maybe it's like buying one-of-a-kind furniture or something, or a really expensive sports car. They need to be the only one on the block with fill-in-the-blank. It's like no one else's kid's name is Bronx.
It's because it's a terrible idea.
How cool is us? You isn't cool.
How cool is us?
James Bond themes are hip.
Sure.
This is the 13th James Bond theme to chart out of the last 43 years. Jack White and Alicia Keys are on the singles chart this week with their Another Way to Die from the new Bond flick, Quantum of Solace, which, by the way, is a total cop-out because they didn't even bother trying to rhyme Quantum of Solace with anything else.
They probably did for hours and
They
days.
They left it right out of the name. It's called Another Way to Die, not even mentioning Quantum of Solace.
Yeah.
Cowards.
Well, Chris Cornell did the same thing with Casino Royale, remember?
Amy Winehouse did. Remember when we talked to her? She had all kinds of rhymes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
She did, but they were like a second-grade rhyme.
So congratulations to Jack White and Alicia Keys for being on the charts. Speaking of music news, now we know why John Lennon was so successful. There's a new book out called The Lennon Prophecy, a new examination of the death clues of the Beatles.
The death clues?
Yeah, because there was a big thing in the 60s where there were rumors that Paul McCartney was dead. Do you remember that, that thing? And like on the back Sgt. Pepper album, he's facing away from the camera and the other guys are looking into the camera, and they thought that was some sort of hidden clue to the fans that Paul had passed away.
Yeah, those are people with too much time
and
on
if you
hands.
Played some of the songs backwards, you hear things like, Paul is dead.
He was walking across the Abbey Road in that famous photograph, and he was barefoot and out of step with the other guys.
I mean,
they had a thousand things that proved that he was dead. And by the way, they weren't swayed at all by the fact that he then showed up the next day on TV, and he was fine.
It was a lookalike. That's what they figured. It was a duplicate, an imposter.
There are just some people that we need to have kicked out of this country, and those people are them.
Paul is a dead man. Miss him. Like one of the secret messages they had. Anyway, this guy's written a book about it. And I'm surprised he buried the lead. He should have titled the book this. John Lennon sold his soul to the devil. That's what the author, Joseph Nizgoda, says. He says, on December 27th, 1960, John Lennon made a pact with Satan.
Okay.
For massive earthly success in exchange for his soul.
You've brought the devil's music into our home.
Lennon enjoyed the pact until December 8th, 1980, 20 years later, when Satan showed up to collect his soul in the personage of Mark David Chapman. That's what this guy's premise is.
Cuckoo, cuckoo. Satan did share his life as Yoko Ono, however.
How dare you, sir?
Keep an eye on him.
A woman as lovely as that, with that much singing talent, when she sings, it's like a choir of angels. Today's celebrity birthdays. Goldie Hawn is 63 years old today. Brian Ritchie of the Violent Femmes turns 48. Nicolette Sheridan is 45 years old today. Jenna Malone from Saved and other feature films is 24 years old. And singer Bjork, well, singer being a euphemism there.
Being honestly, the bell represents us all, and we're asking you to not ring it for her.
I would wreck her, and you guys know it.
Yeah.
But we're saying we don't find her attractive. Please don't ring the bell.
You couldn't be more wrong.
What if we ask you that way?
If you were to wreck me, then the magical fairies of the land of ice would come, and then they would make giant pyramids of sand.
I know, Ralph, that you have a theory about crazy women and how great they are in bed. Tell me that Bjork would rip you up.
No, I think she's
not that kind of crazy.
No.
I think she is.
She's
totally
loopy crazy.
Loopy,
you know?
Self-involved, pompous crazy.
No, she's a goer.
Well, look at me, crazy. I'm wearing a swan. Aren't I wacky?
Go after yourself.
Aren't I wacky? Oh, look, I have wings on my dress. Now I can land like a butterfly on the nose of many camels.
Oh, shut up.
Tell that to the Thai photographer who she broke off with like an 11-hit combo.
She did.
Look, I'm not saying she's not insane. I'm just saying she's not the good kind of insane. Right. Give me some Amber Smith kind of crazy. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I'm checking into rehab. She's still there?
Probably
I got
not.
A problem. Drew, clean me out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the show.
There's a dude in the studio that looks a lot like number 56 from the San Diego Chargers.
Dude, that's Sean Merriman. He just joined us. Lights out at the world famous K-Rock, ladies and gentlemen. He is here. He is here this morning. Lisa has not said a word since he walked in. Are you in awe, Lisa? Are you okay?
He's a really big guy. I'm just going to sit here and be quiet.
Sean, of course, with the San Diego Chargers, which is the closest thing we have to a professional football team, is in town because of an event that he is doing for his charity. It's the Lights On Bowl, which is a funny name considering he's lights out. And it's going to be Monday at the Lucky Strikes Lanes in Hollywood. Who are we raising money for at your event, Sean?
We're raising money for Stand Up For Kids and Feed America. I've been doing this with my Lights On Foundation for a few years now, so we've been pretty successful.
How do you have some type of tie to these kids that you're helping, or how did you come about? Because most people who start charities, my wife runs one, it's from personal experience that they have.
Yeah, well, I don't know if you know too much about my background and how I grew up, but I've experienced a lot of what these kids go through now, and just seeing where I'm today and being able to give back and give out a helping hand as I've been in the league for the past 4 years. So I always said if I ever was in a position to help out, I would. And, you know, now I've been doing that for the last few years.
You were homeless for how many times?
Well, we lost actually two houses to fires.
Wow.
So twice. you know, 1-11 and 1-16. So with all the fires going on out here, I kind of relate to, you know, people, you know, losing their homes.
Sean, how did that happen? Your grandpa smoke or something? What was that deal?
No, unfortunately, it wasn't. You know, it was a long story. When I was a kid, 11 years old, it was some kind of murders or whatever it was in my neighborhood. And my babysitter at the time had witnessed it, and whoever the guys were, I guess, planned on fixing her or doing whatever it was.
God.
And, and they torched the whole building.
That's like something you see on The Wire. That's not something you talk to a dude in person who had happened to him. I mean,
that's funny.
Crazy.
That's just how my neighborhood looked like The Wire.
Really? Now, Sean, the guys will yell at me for this, but I got to give you props as a fellow Terrapin. I got to say how proud I am of you and how happy I am to see the success you've had in the league as a fellow University of Maryland graduate.
Well, I appreciate it, man. You know, it's funny. I run into so many Terps on the West Coast now. And it's kind of odd to come up to me and someone showed me a Terp ring. And I'm like, what is that? You don't think of someone being out in the West Coast, but it's always good to see.
Bean talks about going to the University of Maryland, but never has any stories.
None.
He doesn't remember like a day of it. Mm-hmm. So every once in a while, he'll come up and he'll go, hey, I went there. That's
I didn't accomplish in my years there as much as Sean did. Sean managed to actually turn it into a career, and I think the University of Maryland disavowed any knowledge of me, that's for sure. So, Sean, are you, of course, we have to address that it pains you to be here with us today because you'd much rather be preparing to play Indianapolis this weekend. I mean, clearly that's where your heart is, but what's the status of that? When are you going to be back on the field? What do you know?
Well, you know, I'll be running in a few weeks, and unfortunately, when they put the IR sticker on you, then you're done for the year. But I had surgery. It's, I'm 8 weeks out now. So that 12-week mark, I'll be running around and feeling good, man. So I'm really glad that I got it done when I did.
Yeah.
And it saved a lot of things. And, it was a tough process, man. Me being away from the game of football is tough.
Did you ever have injuries that kept you away from it for that long before?
No, not at all. I mean, I've, rarely even missed a game due to injury. So, to have this happen and be gone for a year, it was difficult.
Wow, no kidding. So are you still there, though? Are you still there at every game with your teammates? And
Most of the home games I'm there, and during the week when I'm in San Diego and training with the team and rehabbing and doing my thing there, I try to stop by and I still watch film and I'm still around the guys and still kind of play my part with the team as I did when I was there.
Is the camaraderie hard to replace in other, you know, realms of your life?
Well, you know, it's a bit different because whenever I wanted to do something, I'll, you know, lead by example. I'll go out there and make something happen. I'll show guys this is the way you're supposed to do it. So now you have to be a little bit more vocal and communicate other than be just really being out there.
It has to be so frustrating for you, though, knowing the impact you make for your team, knowing how, you know, the work that you do out on the field to go, oh, man, that play might have gone so different if I could only been out there. You just must be itching to get back out there.
Well, you know, I always say one guy really don't win or lose a game for you. But, you know, it's a piece to the puzzle. If you take the person who's really good at doing something, it's always going to be affected. So, you know, it's different. It's a different feeling now.
Sean, you've been in the league how long now? 3 years? 4 years?
4 years. 4 years. This is my fourth year.
Is it the way you imagined it would be before you got signed?
You know, yeah, no. I started off a lot faster than what I did. You know, going to three straight Pro Bowls while I was and often. So, you know, I started off fast.
Those things don't happen for rookies a lot. It takes some, you know, years to even
third,
play sometimes.
The third or fourth, you know, guys come around. But I came in the league with a different attitude, and it showed early.
Do you still love football, as I assumed you did when you were playing in college, or is it now it's a job, so it's not as much fun?
You know, I still love it, man. You know, fortunately, I get a chance to get some pretty good money out of it. But, you know, I think the money aspect wasn't there as much. I still do it and enjoy it just as much.
Mm-hmm. We're so fascinated with the life that you guys live. I mean, just your schedule during the week and the things that you do and the things that you get to do. And we thought it might be fun, Sean, if you don't mind. We'd love to open up the phones and have some callers with questions for what it's like for you and what it's like being a professional football player. Would you mind doing that?
Sure, definitely.
And I think it'd be great because you can call and talk to Sean at 1-800-520-1067. And then for the questions that we put on the air, we'll give away tickets to join you at your event at the Lucky Strike Lanes, which is going to be Monday night. That's the bowling alley right there on Hollywood Boulevard.
It's a week from Monday, December 1st.
December 1st, sorry. Yeah. Monday, December 1st. It's gonna, and you raise the money for your charity like you talked about. It's a bowling joint if you haven't been there before. So you can ask an NFL player, and then we'll hook you up with tickets for Sean's charity event. You can call right now, 1-800-520-1067, and we'll talk to you and Sean when we return after Three-time Pro Bowler Sean Merriman from your San Diego Chargers is in our studio this morning. We are going to take your calls right now at 1-800-520-1067. It's your chance to ask an NFL player.
His game is straight up Hall of Fame, and yeah, you know he backs a bunch. Bitch ass is saying about him his way. He's eating halfbacks up for lunch. He's the right type of player for your real-life team or fantasy. Now you ask him a question, what it's like to be inside the league.
Ask a linebacker, QB sacker, spine cracker, don't you mess around with him. He's a linebacker, fear lacker, stiff arm snapper, don't you mess around, no, no, no.
So Psycho Mike was worried what Sean would think.
Yes.
And I noticed ran out of the studio when I started playing that.
Got a little nervous, didn't you, Mike? Sean, what'd you think of your intro here?
That was pretty fun. That was classy.
Thank you.
Okay.
I'm going to need that to play before I come out the tunnel in the stadium.
There you go. All right. 1-800-520-1067. Ask Sean a question. We'll give you tickets to his charity event, which is called the Lights On Bowl. It's going to be a week from Monday, December 1st at the Lucky Strike Lanes, raising money for Stand Up for Kids and Feeding America. Sounds like a worthwhile event. Why don't we start with... Well, geez, let's start with, who do you like? We got some good calls. We don't have a lot of time.
Let's start with Fabian in Santa Ana. Good morning, Fabian.
What's going on, guys? Hey, Lisa Mayer.
Good morning.
You're on with Sean.
Sean, how do you feel after knocking somebody out on the field to where they just don't come back that entire game? Like, does it pump you up, or do you just kind of like, oh, man, I really hurt that guy, you know?
You know what? For the most part, I'm pretty pumped up. The only time I got scared one time, I knocked out Priest Holmes. And he was, like, down for two commercial breaks, and his eyes were rolling back in his head, and he was twitching. And at that point, I was scared. I thought I seriously hurt him. But the rest of the guys, I felt pretty good, though. They were knocked out.
How much are you afraid when you go out there, especially, I guess, now once you get back in uniform? But you have to think about injuries. I mean, it has to every single day when you're suiting up to play a game, you have to be thinking, wow, this could be bad for me.
I think that's if you think about that, that's what's going to happen. You know, I go out there, and my style of play is reckless, and, you know, I'm just relentless to the ball all the time. And I really never – think of injury and probably add an insult to injury to someone else before I'm thinking about myself.
All right, let's go to Mike in Duarte. Good morning, Mike.
Good morning, guys.
Ask an NFL player. Sean Merriman is here.
Hey, Sean. I want to know your opinion on all the rookies coming out, getting all these big guaranteed contracts and money and not even played it down yet.
You know, that's a good question because I was kind of 50-50 on that. You know, I think the guys go through 3 or 4 years of college, whatever it is, and, you know, they go through all the years of high school and playing peewee league, and they finally make it, so they do need to get paid for everything they've done. It's a job for us now. But sometimes you get guys that come in and don't perform. And get all this guaranteed money, and you never hear of them again after the second or third year because they got everything they needed. So kind of you want guys to earn that money at the same time you want guys to get paid for what they've done.
For how they perform, yeah.
Isn't it a shockingly low percentage, Sean, of people who are managing to make the transition from college to pro ball?
It is, and especially to do it early. You know, a lot of guys have a problem adjusting to just the mental part of being in the National Football League. It's a lot to come with it. Even outside of the field, I mean, you really got to play your part and know that you're a role model and be looked at differently than when you were in college.
I'm from Arizona, and Matt Leinart came out of USC, you know, really highly touted and everything else, and he's not playing. He's just sitting the bench, and Kurt Warner's having a great year.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough. I mean, it's tough. In a league, whenever you go down, it's always a guy that's right behind you. At all times to take your job.
The level of play at the NFL is unbelievably good. I mean, every single guy on the field is a great athlete. I mean, you can't be crappy and survive in the league, right?
Yeah, if you think about it, you know, all the best talent and players from high school, they go to college and they go to the D1 colleges. Now you have all the best talent from the D1 schools and the big universities now to play in the league, and even some of those guys you never hear of again. So Think of the elite athletes that's around.
Is that mostly mental, would you guess, the change of becoming a pro player?
Yeah, it's mental first, and then the physical aspect of it is everyone is going to run fast, everyone is going to jump and be able to do a lot of different things, and you just have to look for another way to take it to another level.
Mm-hmm. Let's go to another Mike. He's down on line 8, and he's in Garden Grove this morning. Sean Merriman from the Chargers is in our studio. It's Ask an NFL Player on K-Rock. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Sean. How's it going?
Hey, how you doing?
Doing good. Hey, I have a question that's been debated for a long time. Who's tougher,
football players or hockey players?
Yeah, we've had that argument on this show a lot.
I don't wear skates, man, so I'm definitely going to say football players. I mean, I like the whole punching and get a chance to fight in hockey thing, but I got to say, when you take 250-pound and 260-pound guys and run them full speed into each other, I think that it's more of a collision sport other than contact.
I got you. That makes sense, especially for your position. Your position and running back positions, the people who really make the contact, it seems like it's pretty rough.
Oh, it is.
Have they ever had a reality TV show? Do any of you guys know if they've ever had a show where they have athletes play the other sports? Like, I'd love to see Sean play hockey, and I'd love to see some of the hockey guys play football. It would be so weird to watch, but it'd be fun.
I would have to learn how to skate first before anything happens.
That'd be the good part about it. That'd be fun.
Hey, Sean, we do have more calls, 1-800-520-0106, and we'll get back to you. What do you guys think who are professional football players when you see, like, the Brett Favre story this year? You see a guy who retires and he's 39 years old and he comes back and still manages to get it done week to week in the league. I mean, are you in awe of a guy like that? Can you get your head around how he's able to do that at his age?
Definitely. Even though you're in the game and you get a chance to see Brett Favre from a distance and realize he's still doing it. And that's what makes him a legend. There's certain times that you only get a chance to make your mark on this game, and he's made his mark on the game of football, and he's changed the game of football. And, in order to be a great athlete, I think that's what you have to do. You have to make your mark on the sport.
Do you look at him and go, when I get to that point, I hope I step out gracefully. I hope I can fight my way back like he does. What's your mindset on that?
Well, I definitely won't be playing at 39. I can tell you that much.
No, not the way you have to play.
You're in a high contact position.
Yeah,
of course.
I won't retire and come back. So I'm not going to knock on wood and say never with those. But you just hope to leave the game with a name like Brett Favre.
Sure,
you know, when he's
right.
done with the game, he's always going to be a legend from 20, 30, 40 years from now.
How long do you think you'll play with the Chargers? Is that a team you'd like to stay with for your whole career?
Definitely. I love San Diego. I'm from Maryland, born and raised, but I love the West Coast. I love being out here. And I've done some great things in the city, in the community, and I love being out there.
Speaking of great things, I'm sorry, go ahead, Bean.
Just one more question before you. Is the biggest fear when you're a football player is that someday the phone's going to ring and it's going to be the Lions on the phone? I mean, is that like your worst nightmare is you roll over and Detroit's calling you?
Yeah, that's when I'm coming up there and jumping off a bridge.
Speaking of doing well in the community, Sean Merriman is here. He's got a charity event a week from Monday. It's the December 1st. It's a bowling event. And Jalen Rose is going to be there, former NBA star. Eddie George is going to be there. A bunch of different celebrities are going to be there. You can buy tickets for $100. The money goes to the charity. And we got some more tickets to give away for your questions at 1-800-520-1067. Ask an NFL player when we get back. We have Sean Merriman in the studio with us. He, of course, the outside linebacker for the San Diego Chargers, Fox News game analyst, and he's got a charity event that's going to be in Hollywood on Monday night, December 1st. It's a week from Monday from 6 to 9, and it's going to be a bowling event with a bunch of celebrities, a bunch of athletes, and you can go and help support homeless charities, which is very cool.
Yeah.
Well, the charities aren't homeless. The people are homeless.
And you can get the details at SeanMerriman.com. Before we go back to your calls to ask an NFL player, Sean, you are listed in the guide as 6'4", 272. Is that still right?
Well, I've been off a little bit, so I'm about 266, 267 now.
You know, what's your diet like? What kind of foods do you have to eat a lot of?
You know, fortunately, the guys get pretty pissed off at me because I eat everything.
Nice.
And I don't gain any weight or whatever. So if I walk in the locker room eating McDonald's, all the linemen get pretty upset at me.
Wow. Before we go back to the calls, do you have a position on Hot Cheetos? What do you think of them?
They're pretty good until, like, you can't stop and then your mouth is just, like, flaming and it tastes good and you want to stop, but you can't.
Yeah, you can't. And then bad things happen at the other end. All right, let's take some phone calls from the K-Rock listeners. We will give you tickets to this charity event if you get on the air. Let's begin with Ray, who is calling from West Covina. Good morning, Ray.
Hey, Kevin. How are you guys doing?
Very good, thanks.
Hey, you're on with Sean. Go ahead.
Yeah, I had a question for you, Sean. I've recently been hearing some talk about Joey Porter and Brandon Marshall, and in that case, I've also heard about when it comes to bounties, is that, you know, just something for fun in the locker room, or is that something that some guys take personal?
It depends. I think the whole bounty thing started with, what's the wide receiver from Pittsburgh?
Hines Ward?
Hines Ward, yep. was you know, come back and knocking guys out, blindsiding them, and teams were putting out a bounty on him. And it definitely happens. You know, they might not come out and say it, but if a guy's talking trash during the week, you go into that game looking to shut him down. So, You gotta choose your words wisely coming into the week.
do you, that's a great question, by the way. Hang on for your tickets. Do you guys find yourself taking it personally sometimes, or are you able to leave it behind when you get off the field?
Well, it's all business going into the week until, you know, some guys overstep their boundaries. Now you're looking at them like, okay, well, you want to talk? Well, we're going to come after you. And you have to understand that that's going to happen in this league. And, you know, it's a brutal sport. It's a violent game. So if you can talk enough during the week, you expect for people to come after you.
Let's go to line five. She is a fellow Terrapin, by the way, Sean. Joy is calling from La Crescenta. Hey, Joy, you're on with Sean. Go ahead.
Hey, I'm actually a guy.
All right, fine.
What's happening, welcome. Joy?
Hey, I'm a fellow Terp. Hey, Sean, I followed you through the University of Maryland and then San Diego. I wanted to know, you know, you have one of the, you know, the coolest little dance or celebration dance.
Yep.
How do you feel when people mimic that?
Depending on who it is.
if they do it well.
A few years back, Chad Johnson did it, but we're good friends. You know, some guys do it out of disrespect, and it makes me mad. So I know the stadium hate it. Whenever I go play somewhere else, the fans don't like it. So
as long as it's not a home game, I'm sure. Yeah. Driving crazy.
Why is the NFL crack down so much on those end zone celebrations? The fans love them, and they're so entertaining, and it gives us a chance to know a little bit about you and your personality. What's their problem with them?
You know, I think it's just really come to it. The NFL doesn't want guys to be individuals. And to me, I just never found a problem with that, because even when T.O. and Steve Smith and all these guys were doing it, even as an NFL player, I couldn't wait to get home to watch SportsCenter and see what they did.
Right.
And it's after the game. So
why do they not want that?
I don't know. You know, it's kind of one of the things I think they're just cracking down anybody being individuals. And I looked at it more as guys having a personality and being their own character.
Absolutely. Who was it? Was it? It wasn't Sean Alexander, was it? The guy who pulled out the Sharpie and signed a football and threw it up into the.
It was T.O.
It was T.O. who did it. Yeah. That just makes that's just fun on top of a great game. It's just fun to watch stuff like that, and people can love it and people can hate it, but don't stop them from doing it. Come on.
All right. Let's go to Mikey in West Covina. Good morning, Mikey.
Hi. How you doing?
Good.
Hey, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Hey, Sean. I got a question for you. With all these rookies coming into the league, making all this money and. How many of them get caught up in that club lifestyle and don't take the game seriously and really just ruin their shot?
Is party too much?
Exactly.
I think a lot. You know, and whenever you can't handle it is a problem. I think as being a young rookie coming to the league, you're going to have fun. Any guy that's 21, 22 years old with money now is going to have fun with it and experience a few things. But whenever you let that life take over what your job is and something that you do and you love, then it becomes a problem.
Do you think that part of the problem is the ridiculous NCAA rules about not getting any pay? So then you're supposed to get nothing, and then all of a sudden the transition is so huge.
I always had, like, you know, some grief with that in college, because, you know, a lot of people don't even know that you have a limited amount that you can make even if you had a job. You know, so you don't have anything. You go from not having anything in college to someone giving you all this money and saying, okay, what are you going to do with it now? So now it's all on the plate, and now you have to make your own life decisions with all this money. You never had it before.
You go from zero to 100. It just seems like if they gave you a little in college, it wouldn't
be such a transition. All right, great question. Hang on for your tickets for Sean's event. We're almost out of time. Let's talk to Cynthia, who's a big Chargers fan. She's in L.A., and she's on line one. Hey, Cynthia, ask an NFL player. You're on with Sean Merriman. Go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Lisa May.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sean, I think you're a huge part of the Chargers and motivating the team. Now, it's obvious that the team was affected by you not being there. How are you helping them get through it?
Well, just being there with guys, you know, like I said, I'm still there sometime during the week, and you know, I talk to at least 10 or 15 guys a week about the games, or whether we go into a film, I'm in there in the weight room working out. So physically, I can't be there. I can't be in the field to do the things that, you know, I've really been good at doing in the past, but it's now I have to be more of a vocal leader, you know, communicate a little bit better with the team, because I understand my role and what I did there. So I still have to take part in that, even though I'm not on the field.
Is it hard for a guy like you that is used to working so hard to take your time kind of getting back? Do you rush it and try to do too much?
The first few months are the hardest, because you feel good. You know, right now I feel like I can run and go play football right now, but you know you can't, and the doctor said you can't. So that's the hardest, kind of toning myself down and being patient.
Yeah.
It's been a weird season. I think we've talked off the air, Sean, about some of the games the Chargers have won that were weird and some of the games they've lost that were weird in unusual circumstances. Yet you're still in second place in the AFC West, if I remember correctly. Right? Am I wrong about that?
No, no, you're right. That's okay. The beauty of our division.
Yeah.
You
right,
know,
exactly.
Sometimes
yeah.
We can squeeze in at 9-7 or 8-8, whatever it is.
The Chargers have a good shot at the playoffs, though, right? I mean, they just got to keep being true to what they do.
Yeah, I think if we win out, you know, we have to win out at this point, and we've done it before. We've gone on a 5- and 6-game winning streak, and we have a few games coming up here at home. So, you know, we should be in pretty good shape. The key is getting our foot in the playoffs. You know, we get our foot in the playoffs, then everything else will be downhill, and then we worry about the next step.
Are the playoffs harder in football because there's just one game? Like the NBA, they have 7 games. They get to try again a couple times.
Yeah, it's tough because, you know, you
World
don't know
Series
if you have
same.
That. It's no off days.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
It's no off days. You don't play as well. You don't do some things right. You know, you could be packing for next season.
Yeah.
You don't get a chance to come back for game 2 or whatever it is.
Let's talk to another Charger fan, Seth from Redondo Beach. By the way, Sean was telling us off the air that a lot of people from L.A. come down to watch the Chargers. I mean, I know that they were fans, but I didn't know how many were driving down to actually, you know, actively see. It was pretty cool.
Oh, yeah, a whole lot.
Seth, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Huge Charger fan. I've been a Charger fan for years. I like to get to at least one game a year. I'm going on the 4th to Qualcomm to see the Chargers play the Raiders. Sean, why do the Raiders suck so bad?
That's a question I've been asking myself. No, I was just joking.
Yeah. Don't lose that one, Sean.
Of course, Seth has to go to that one, you know, because of the Charger fans.
Exactly. And everyone in San Diego and who loves the Chargers hate the Raiders. Yep. So, you know, it's been funny because they had talent up there every year. So why they lose, I don't know. They've always been
on paper.
They've been paper champs. They've been guys that you look at and say, this guy can play, this guy can play, this guy can play. And they have a 6-10 year, or, you know, a 7, or whatever it is. They just don't, at the end of the day, seem to pull it together.
I have a hardcore Raiders fan who's a friend of mine, and he just has the feeling that they create new and amazing ways to lose every week. And he can't figure it out. Like, they should win, and then something weird happens, and they end up losing, and he's so frustrated all the time. That's just got to suck as a professional fan.
And it also must suck when you're preparing to play a team like the Raiders because it's so easy to take them for granted, but anyone can win any given Sunday. That's why that expression exists, and you can't really let your guard down, no pun intended. I mean, you actually have to still be good to beat even a bad team.
Yeah, it's true.
All right, we're out of time. We had great calls, and we got a lot more I wish we had time for, but we just don't. But, Sean, so awesome to meet you, man. We really enjoyed having a chance to talk to you for a few minutes. It's been cool.
I appreciate it. Thanks a lot.
And if you want to check out the event, it's the Lights On Bowl, and it's going to be a week from Monday, December 1st, from 6 till 9 at the Lucky Strike Lanes. Other celebrities are going to be there raising money for some great charities that Sean told us about earlier in the hour. Stand Up for Kids and Feeding America. You can get all those details at SeanMerriman.com. Come back and see us sometime, dude.
I will.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock 106.7 KROQ at 5 minutes till 9 o'clock.
No, please. Can I hear Bean talk more about the iPhone?
Nope.
Please.
I'm just
saying
how much I like being able to...
That is endlessly entertaining.
Nope.
I could listen... all day. I wish there was a channel
technology.
I could just listen to that on. Just Bean talking about his phone.
Or there also technology. Needs to be a Bean Talks About Marilyn Terrapins channel.
That would be another good channel.
He has endless
Come
stories
on,
about his time
serious?
In college.
Get on the stick. These are channels we desperately need to hear. And then another channel would just kill me instantly so I could just tune that after I heard Bean talk about those items.
Bean has too many puppies and wants to complain about it. Channel. That'd be awesome. I have too many puppies.
Oh, Bean Radio must
have too many puppies. Thank you for noticing.
Flip over to the puppy channel.
8:50. I'm getting no sleep. Too many puppies. And you want us to do what?
I was up at 1 again today, by the way. At 1 a.m. I was up.
Okay, did we make the decision for you to get 3 puppies at the same time?
You did not. Neither did I, by the way.
Were they left on your doorstep in a basket?
No.
You felt obligated to adopt them?
Maybe you're complaining to the wrong people is what we're saying.
I just appreciate them giving me a break from that blissful, uninterrupted sleep that I used to enjoy. That's all. All right, listen, let's move on. It's 8:55. Rob is here with the final showbiz beat on the Kevin and Bean morning show. But, of course, we come back every afternoon from 5 till 6. But let's see what's going on.
Nice work, Kevin and Bean.
What?
Way to go. Kevin and Bean curse continues.
What are you talking about?
You remember the host of The Human Weapon on the History Channel, Jason Chambers? You talked to him?
Oh, Mike's Hero? Yeah, I remember him.
He's an experienced martial artist who travels around the world and tries to adopt different fighting styles and then take on the people who are experts in that particular style.
But before you tell the story, how many interviews has he done since our show? Hundreds, I'm guessing.
I'm guessing not.
Hundreds.
I'm guessing not because he's just been arrested for rape.
Oh.
Nice work, Kevin.
You cannot run around so casually using that word, okay? Rape
is for special occasions.
Well, I think this counts. Since Kevin made him rape somebody.
I did nothing of the
on
sort.
On TV.
On TV.
Lisa, you're not helping.
That just happened.
Arrested November 11th on suspicion of sexual assault and drug charges. And according to TMZ, cops think he may have used the intoxicants to commit the rape.
Oh,
touch it! That's bad.
Yeah. He has been released after posting bail of $200,000 due back in court on December the 5th. So,
I'm saying it's not
nice work. That's all I'm saying is nice work.
I'm saying he talks
to it was crazy.
A lot of people.
I'm just saying good job.
I'm saying he talks to a lot of people.
Saying, what's wrong with you?
Not us.
Why would you encourage that?
Didn't do it.
Story of the day continues to be Ashley Simpson and her husband, Pete Wentz. Always tend to say wife there. They had a baby yesterday. The child's name, I'm sure you've heard by now, is Bronx Mowgli Wentz.
Mowgli.
Mowgli, after the name of the child featured in the Rudyard Kipling story Jungle Book, made into the popular...
Give it up!
As the Disney animated film, The Jungle Book.
Wow.
Mowgli.
Bronx. Let me ask you guys this question, because I heard you talking last hour about how the kid's going to get beat up in school. When you're 6, 7, 8 years old and all names are new to you, why would Bronx strike a 7-year-old as being a bad or a weird name?
Because no one else is named Bronx.
Because you're not dropped on the planet out of a pod, Bean. By 6, you've existed long enough to meet a ton of kids in your classes, and you've met Dave and Brian and Scott.
But haven't you met
Bill?
Kids with hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of different names? I wonder if it's the kid who really has the problem with the unusual name, or if it's just other parents. I'm just wondering.
It is. You're not a bully, physically.
Mentally.
Mentally,
story.
You are. But bullies can pick anything to beat up on people over.
Anything that's different.
Anything that's different at all.
Mm-hmm.
Those two names are, it's a red flag. It's please beat me up.
The simplest of names can be used against kids. I remember Messy Jesse. We used to make him cry at lunchtime. Messy Jesse.
I remember Scotty Potty. Not happy. He was not happy with that nickname.
Petros always talks about being Pot Roast Poopadakis.
There you go. Any name can be used, but if you load extra ammunition, if you're adding gunpowder.
Those are good names.
With Bronx, you're going to get it. You will be smitten. Smited. And you smote.
In this case, you can't blame the bullies. I mean, they're begging for their kid to be beaten up. Bronx Mowgli.
Mowgli.
And his dad's in Fall Out Boy.
More importantly.
Well, that's the bigger problem. That's the bigger problem, for sure.
The name's bad. Wait till they find that out.
Oh, that's wrong.
He'll never stop hitting him.
Like all day, every day, that's all you do is hit that kid.
It's like a speed bag. ABC's made some announcements. TV fans, listen up. Things you might want to know. Scrubs. Looking forward to the return of Scrubs.
Love that show
a lot. Yeah. NBC dumped it. ABC picked it up. It will debut January 6th, announces the Alphabet Network, as we call it in the biz.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Also, Life on Mars. They've just ordered 4 more episodes of that new series. That means a total of 17 episodes this season. A good sign. I love that show. It'll be on paired up with Lost. So it's got a pretty good lead in or lead out. Depending on how they schedule it, but it'll be on the same night as Lost. And sad news for fans of Pushing Daisies, Dirty Sexy Money, and or Eli Stone. Those shows are going bye-bye.
Like
not
Eli.
Performing well.
Hmm.
Never saw the Eli. He's the one who sings and dances in court, right?
It's pretty good.
That's right.
Okay.
That's
good. No,
it's
I'm
because
sure.
of a brain aneurysm.
Okay.
You'd have
all
to.
Right.
He sees visions. It doesn't really happen.
Okay.
Not really singing.
No, that's good. Yeah. Cop rock.
By the way, 24 comes back this Sunday night as well. Just
it
for
sure
those
does.
Longtime fans.
2 hours.
Sort of.
Comes
vengeance.
Back. Yeah. Sort of.
Yeah. What do you mean, sort of?
Well, it's a 2-hour movie, but then there's no 24 episodes until late January.
What?
Really?
Yeah, this isn't the start
strange
of the series.
Strange schedule.
I didn't know
that. Yeah, it's kind of weird.
This is a standalone 2-hour movie? This isn't the premiere episode of the new season?
I thought it was episode 1 and 2.
Episode.
It is. Okay. But then they're going to have to wait through Christmas.
Oh, my God.
So an odd choice.
Huh. It is odd, yeah. I guess they know it'll work for him in sweeps, though, so that's why they're
Christmas,
it on now.
This Christmas, I've been a paraplegic now for over 20 years. I've been playing that song.
We'll get to it.
Yeah, we have to wait for Thanksgiving.
We'll get to it right after Thanksgiving.
No, I need it. I need it right now.
We don't have it right now.
Give it to me.
Don't have it.
Damn. Don't have it right now.
Take a look at today's celebrity birthday, shall we? Goldie Hawn is 63 years old today. Brian Ritchie of the Violent Femmes, who you just heard, we just played their song. bassist. Does that great bass rip on that song. Sure. Love that. He's 48 years old today. Nicolette Sheridan is 45. Jenna Malone is 24. And singer Bjork, don't you goddamn it, don't you ring that bell. Bjork is 43 years old today.
Yes, I'll give her a plug.
I walk the show.
Thank you, Ralph. And thanks to our special guests on the program today, including Sean Merriman. Ralph, you didn't pop by here. You get a chance to meet Mr. Merriman. Seems like an awesome dude.
I briefly had a chance to interact with him, and he killed me.
Yeah.
He looked at me, and my arm fell off.
You just look up at him, and you go, wow.
He's a mountain of a man.
Yeah. All right, then.
Yeah.
Get the details on his December 1st charity event at SeanMerriman.com. And thanks to Kristen Stewart for joining us, too. She is one of the stars of the movie called Twilight that by now you've heard about, and that opens everywhere today.
This afternoon, Kevin and Bean, Cinco de la Tarde. They're looking for a little Ozzy. They're looking for a child actor.
Wouldn't we like to have a little Ozzy in our lives?
A child actor to play Ozzy. So we're going to try and track down that story.
What
a little
parent
bit more.
Would let their child play Ozzy?
I don't know. Apparently, he needs to be able to curse like crazy.
Yeah.
That's one of the things they're asking for. And then on Monday morning show, by the way, we have Scott Weiland in the studio performing live music.
Wow.
And that should be pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Harvey Levin. Harvey Levin on Monday morning show. And just so, to not throw everybody off, we know that it's 9 o'clock. It's not 10 o'clock like it used to be when we played this song. So don't freak out and think you're supposed to be at work by now.
Ah,
a lot of emails last Friday.
I'm losing my mind.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Your booty might be burning.
Don't bogart that joint, my friend. Pass it over to me.
Butt hash.
Roll another one.
I smoke a lot of pot.
Just like the other one.
Hi. Are you high?
This one seems to be about to quit. And I need another hit.
Our friend Kat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock. Why not stick around for Ulysses? It's the new one from Franz Ferdinand. Also, Rise Against, the Beastie Boys, Incubus, Queens of the Stone Age, and more coming up on K-Rock.
Roll another one.
The best tonic is chronic.
Just like the other one. This one seems to be a constant. I don't have another cent.
There's a lot of different ways of getting THC into your system, and it's not all about smoking.
Just
yeah, it was crazy.
But don't bogart that joint, my friend.
Yeah.
I'm just passing on down.
Pass it on down.
This is it. We've had enough.
You have continued to be there for us for so many years, and you're always filled with enthusiasm and affection. Believe me, we feel the same way about all of you. Thanks for everything. And bye for now.
Time to disperse! Party's over!
I'm afraid our time is up.
Thank you, and screw you.
You're still here. Oh, damn it, what the f*** is going on? Well, I guess saying goodbye wasn't enough. What else do I have to do?
What do you guys do over there after the show's aired? Do you just send the tape straight over to the Smithsonian?
Oh, if you see a possum, try to kill it, okay? It's not a pet.
6.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is the Kevin and Bean Cinco de la Tarde with Danzig and
Mike. Yes! Danzig.
Well, I guess he's just singing. He's not a werewolf. I don't know what I'm doing.
I don't think you pulled that off.
Here's the entertainment news story. Ozzy Osbourne is looking for a young boy with a penchant for swearing to play him in a new TV show based on his life.
Oh, boy.
They want a little boy that has an accent kind of like his, which is from Birmingham.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Needs to have dark hair, needs to be a 7-year-old, and needs to be able to curse like a sailor convincingly.
Has Ozzy talked the way he talks now since he was a little kid? Is that what we're supposed to believe? Like he came out of the womb just swearing at everybody?
That's what I would believe that.
The theory,
the second,
yeah.
Yeah. That. We had his wife Sharon Osbourne on the Kevin and Bean Morning Show a couple of weeks ago, and she was telling us, she was describing this new show, this Osbourne's Loud and Dangerous show, and how it has all these weird, disparate elements. So it's kind of a reality show, kind of a scripted show, and I guess one of the things that they're going to do is some sketches, I guess, where they have 7-year-olds, they have kids, playing Sharon and Ozzy at that age.
So it's kind of a casting call. They're looking for somebody to be on the show now. But I like that they, instead of going, oh, we can't do that with a seven-year-old, can't, they just went for it. They're like, look, we want a seven-year-old. We want him to be able to curse. And not only curse, but convincingly. It needs to sound natural.
I bet those kids are out there.
Well, of course they are.
Don't you think?
Of course they
yeah.
are. And we have a call, actually. Let's take that. K-Rock, hello.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello, how are you doing?
Hi, it's Kevin and Bean. Who's this?
My name's Carl Leach.
Coral Leach?
Carl.
Carl.
C-A-R-L.
So what can we do for you, Coral?
No, my name's Carl.
Carl?
Leach.
Leach.
Okay. Leach.
Leach.
For f***'s sake, what? are we gonna do the whole bit on my f***ing name? Or are we going to move forward with this?
We're not trying to do a bit, Coral. We're just
I can
to
tell
talk.
You're not trying to do a bit. You're trying to f*** up a bit.
Okay, you got to watch your language because we are on the radio. But are you calling about the topic that we're discussing on the
yes.
radio about the Ozzy Osbourne TV show?
Yes.
You're too old.
Listen, shut the f*** up.
All right.
Listen, I heard you guys talking about needing a seven-year-old.
Yes.
And my son and me, we moved here to Los Angeles to get him into the acting business.
Okay.
And he can sound just like Ozzy Osbourne.
Sounds like...
That doesn't surprise me.
Your seven-year-old sounds just like Ozzy.
Yeah, he's perfect for what you're saying, so I'd like you to give me more information so I can contact Sharon or whatever it is and get him an audition.
Would you mind if we chatted with him? If you could put the seven-year-old on?
You want to talk to him?
Yeah, do you mind?
All right, hold on a second.
Okay. Okay.
Lenny, come here and talk to these two...
Okay,
they want to talk to you. They're the ones with the thing with the app for the Aussie thing. Talk to them, all right?
Hello,
Lenny.
Is this,
yeah, this
Lenny?
This is Lenny.
How old are you, Lenny?
Who's this I'm talking to?
It's Kevin and Bean from K-Rock.
It was Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. How are you, little Lenny?
I'm doing good. Carl, it's Kevin and Bean on the phone.
Lenny, we're looking for somebody. We're trying to help Sharon find somebody to play the 7-year-old Ozzy Osbourne. But you sound like Ozzy Osbourne today.
That's what I heard that you wanted to do, and I want to play him on the telly.
You'd like to portray Ozzy?
Yeah. But didn't I just? Say that.
I don't know. It's hard to understand your accent.
So you stupid! I said I want to play Ozzy on the telly. You have got in your ears.
Come on.
Now, Lenny,
do
would
I
you
can repeat everything I say when I'm saying it perfectly clear the first time?
Would you say, I can't believe I'm going to ask this question, that you were able to swear in a believable and compelling way?
Well, ordinarily, I don't like to use naughty words.
Mm-hmm.
But for television, f*** all. I'd say anything they wanted.
You would. And your dad, Carl, doesn't give you a hard time about that?
No, he doesn't f***ing care what I say.
Because oh,
he's a stupid old f***ing
okay, all right, that's fine.
And I want to be in show business, so I'll f***ing say anything they want me to say. I'll say
those are all the best words, I guess. It's so great for you, Lenny, that this show came along because there aren't probably a lot of other jobs that you would be qualified for in show business in America.
No, that's true. They threw me off Zach and Cody, whatever that f***ing show is.
Right.
And then they threw me off Miley Cyrus.
Uh-oh. Another Disney show.
Another Disney show. I got a job on that, and then they let me go from that one.
How come?
Because I f***ed her right in the ass. That's why.
Okay. Oh my God. All right. Listen, Lenny.
They found a b- in the dressing room.
No. All right.
And
out
I had a Perrier bottle.
Oh, no.
Okay. I don't want to hear about this from anyone, much less a 7-year-old, okay? Wait, I want to hear about the Perrier.
I'm only seven. I couldn't actually f*** her myself, being only seven and all.
Right.
So I used a Perrier bottle.
Oh, I see. Okay. And how did that work exactly?
Don't
ask any more questions.
They haven't found the bottle yet.
All right, that's fine.
That's all I know.
This is foul.
But right, she's living.
Good luck to you and your father. Thanks for calling us today.
I hope she doesn't shake it up too much, and then it pops with all the carbonation, because then she'll fly around the room like a balloon with the air being let out.
Okay, I think we got it.
I think we
understand what you're saying.
You f***ing get it.
Yes, Lenny,
we do.
I'm a foul-mouthed seven-year-old.
That's
yes,
right.
You are.
You sure are.
How?
And it is Friday. I wonder if there are any
No movies in the theater today.
Nope.
Well, you sure think we would have heard about
one if there were a big one coming out, maybe based on a series of books that sold a jillion copies.
Harry Potter, yes! Harry Potter and the Order of...
No.
The Phoenix?
No, that's not.
Hmm.
I think Twilight is the one that you're looking for, Kevin, and it is in theaters today. In fact, there's no one listening to this broadcast right now because based on what we've been hearing from our phones and emails this week, every single person who listens to our show is at a screening of Twilight right now. So there's nobody even to enjoy this. But we've had a big week talking about the movie, talking to the stars of the movie.
I'm a member of Club Eddie. Club Eddie.
What is Edward. It?
Edward.
Oh, my God.
Team
Edward.
Damn it. Team Edward.
The actor who plays Edward in the movie is named Robert Pattinson, and the chicks love him. If I see one more teenage girl on my television set this week saying, "Marry me, Edward," I don't know what I'm going to do. But we had the opportunity to catch up with him earlier in the week. Here's just a tiny tidbit of how it went. We had him on the phone, and if I remember correctly, we had a K-Rock listener come down to talk to him, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep, we picked one question. She came down, and she asked her one question.
Jessica, who actually drove down here from Brea to Los Angeles this morning to be in the studio. Jessica's in the room with us right now, Robert, and we said she'd have the opportunity to talk to you and ask her question. Jessica, you're on with your boyfriend.
Oh, yes. So I've been waiting for hi, Robert. My question is, what is the creepiest thing a fan has done to get your attention?
Because your fans crazy.
They were out front when we were driving in at 5 this morning.
out front of a radio station I'm not even at.
Yeah, we kept saying, on the phone. He's on the phone. We're telling you he's on the phone. We're not trying to lead you on. He's on the phone.
And they were saying, that's close enough. And his voice is going to be going through a wire that goes behind your building.
So what creepy has happened from a fan?
A few little things. I was doing some part of the promotional tour in a city somewhere, and these four girls came up. They kept scratching their necks until there were two little bleeding scabs.
Yes!
God!
Yes!
And they were like, "We've done this for you!
Oh.
Edward, we've done this for you!"
Did they start shouting, "Suck it!" Anything like that?
Yeah, it was for a meeting of about 3 seconds, though, so I was kind of like, "Oh, great, yeah, well, thanks, nice to meet you."
Does it take a? I mean, I know you're an actor and you've done a bunch of other roles, Robert. But does it take something to convince yourself that you're playing a vampire to be able to do it convincingly? There has to be part of you that goes, "This is just weird. What am I doing?"
Oh yeah, you think that the whole time. No, I mean, it is. It takes a little bit more. You know, you have to just sort of commit to something. I wasn't. I don't know if I was really even playing a vampire. I mean, I just kind of took the elements of the sort of basic elements, thinking, you know, he lives forever. He has 1,000 times more strength and speed than a human, and an unquenchable thirst for blood.
Sure, there's all that. Yeah,
yeah. Mm-hmm. So, like, you just got to take that into account, I guess.
Jessica, was it fun? Did you have a good time?
Oh yes, I had a lot of fun.
Amazing.
We're going to give you a chance to say goodbye to Robert then, on behalf of all of us on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Goodbye, Robert. It was a pleasure speaking with you.
Goodbye, Jessica. It was very nice speaking with you.
Goes right into her sex voice. She didn't use that with us. No sex voice for us.
Sure did.
Thank you, Robert.
Those Twilight fans is crazy.
They are.
Yeah.
They are. So that's Robert Pattinson. He plays Edward in the movie. And then his love interest is Bella Swan. And she, of course, is played by the beautiful Kristen Stewart. We had a chance to catch up with her on this morning's Kevin and Bean Show. I don't think she loved us, by the way. Don't think she was crazy about us.
She is head over heels. She's just fighting.
Really?
Fighting it.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I hope I'm wrong then. But we did get a chance to talk to her a little bit about Twilight Open Everywhere today. Hey, Kristen. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Oh, thanks, man.
Thanks for joining us. I imagine that you have got to be very, very, very close to being done with promoting Twilight.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sort of a day close. I have a European press tour, but I think I'm done here in the States.
Oh, that's good. You are just going to go to bed and just sleep for like a month when it's finally over, aren't you?
Yeah.
You get tired of talking about something that you finished? How long ago did you finish it?
Actually, just in May. They turned it around real quick.
Oh, that is pretty fast.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I know that you had the world premiere here a few days ago, so a lot of people have gotten to see the movie. What kind of reaction are you getting now from all these fans that you heard so much about from the time you were first named as the actress who's going to play Bella? Are they pretty pleased with what you did with the role?
I mean, as far as I can tell, there's not really like a solid, tangible place to see exactly what everybody thinks, you know. But from everything that people have told me, which also isn't really very many, there were a lot of daughters of studio executives and daughters of like famous people at the premiere. But I haven't talked to like real people who have seen it, so I don't know.
That's kind of the way those premieres go, is that people with the juice in town get their kids into it or whatever,
yeah,
you know, whoever right. wants to see it.
It's right. not the real.
It's not real the real
reaction,
group, right.
I don't think.
I mean,
yeah.
not that those kids aren't real kids.
Sure.
No, they're not. They're cartoons. A lot of people don't know.
They're paying to be nice.
Yeah.
Exactly. So we're always fascinated with what it's like for an actor on a day like today when a big, highly anticipated movie is coming out. Are you going to be the type of person who is interested to get the updates on what the box office is going to be like throughout the day and throughout the weekend? Or do you feel like your job is done and the rest of it doesn't have anything to do with you?
It really has nothing to do with me.
Yeah.
I'm like kind of sitting back and watching what happens. But especially with this movie in this case, everybody's expecting it to just like do this crazy like box up. I mean, you just don't know that all those little equations that the studio gives you, they're just not real. You can't, there's no answer.
There are a lot of surprises on Mondays. I'll tell you that, where you come in, you go, wow, this studio can't possibly have predicted this and that. And
right.
it's tough.
Right.
You should have put some talking chihuahuas in your movie, Kristen. That's the key these days.
Yeah, apparently.
It looks like it was a lot of fun to make, Kristen, and I know that you're probably very excited to get it to the fans, and we're very excited to have been able to talk to you on the show about it. I hope it does great business for you, and I hope you get to play this role as long as you want to.
Me too, man. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Kristen.
All right,
bye now. Okay, man. No, I'm just kidding.
We've gotten a lot of emails, talked to a lot of people on the phone this week about Twilight, but Mike was brave enough, Psycho Mike, who works on the Kevin and Bean Show, was brave enough to meet them in person. He actually went down and interviewed, and where was this, Mike? This was at the world premiere earlier in the week, right?
Red Carpet World Premiere in Westwood at the Westwood Mann Theater this Monday afternoon is when I went down there.
And did you find the people at that screening loved you?
Yes.
Didn't love you?
Made a lot of fans. I even took some numbers home.
You did?
I'm thinking about dumping
wow.
Jenny. No, actually, now that I think about it, they all hate me.
Shouldn't you be in school?
Yeah.
Why is Twilight so important to you?
Because I read it and it's awesome.
If there wasn't hunky dudes in the movie, would you be this excited to come out here?
Probably not.
So what's the deal with Twilight? Spit it out.
It touches you.
Pedophiles touch you, but people don't seem to get that excited about that.
Emotionally. If you're a girl, it touches you emotionally.
You drove all the way from Fullerton to hopefully maybe see some dude from a distance.
Pretty much, yeah.
You don't feel like it's pathetic at all?
No, I never said that. I'm fully aware of the fact that it could be seen as pathetic, and I'm all right with that.
There's a lot of movies with hunky dudes in it. What is it about this movie in particular?
They get obsessed with the person that they're in love with, and they fight over her and stuff.
But I thought ladies hated overprotective men.
They do to an extent, but everybody loves to be admired.
Well, I admire you because you have massive boobs.
I guess I picked the right shirt then. The book, it kind of just draws you in, so you have this urge to just go and see everything about it.
You want a book that'll draw you in? The Bible, sister.
Okay.
So it's a kid from New Jersey moves to the Valley to study karate, and then he has to fight the guy from Cobra Kai?
No, Bella moves from Arizona to Washington, and she meets her vampire, and they fall in love.
Why do chicks dig vampires?
I dig werewolves. Werewolves are hot.
Wait, is there werewolves or vampires in this movie?
There's both.
Is there a guy that shoots webs out of his palms?
No, it's not super.
Is there a playboy billionaire who also fights crime at night in a bat suit?
No, there isn't.
Yeah, I'm lost.
Team Edward.
What does that mean?
It means you like the vampires.
Is there other vampires that you could be on the team of?
Who we like for Bella. It's either Jacob or Edward.
So you guys join a team on who you think Bella should be with.
Jacob. Edward.
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 Jacob.
Jacob's too good for Bella. I think I deserve Jacob.
But Jacob imprints in the fourth book anyway, and it's not on Bella, so...
You're exactly right. Who could forget that? Why are you on Team Jacob?
Because he's a werewolf.
Say werewolf again.
Werewolf?
You say werewolf. If you could be a vampire, would you?
Yes.
But what if you got AIDS?
I can't have AIDS because you live forever.
Oh, good point. Shouldn't you girls be in school?
No.
No. No.
We're all, yeah. It's a special holiday. It's called Twilight Day.
Listen, hold on now. Are you girls over 18?
Yes.
Okay. Would you, you are now at noon on a Monday waiting in line for what will be probably about 7 hours, 8 hours, just to maybe catch a glimpse of the people who are in this movie.
Yes?
Yeah.
Be honest. Would you wait this long to vote?
I wouldn't.
No.
I'd rather send my ballot in. I don't want to wait in line.
There's werewolves and there's vampires.
Yes.
There's two teams of people you can join to support who Bella should date.
Yes.
And Edward's a fag.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No. No.
Cinco de la tarde.
Hey, it's Friday.
name. I'm Rodney. You're Friday.
Rodney, not now.
Hey, it's Rodney Bingenheimer here, right. Winding down another week of great flashback.
No, that's
Richard's show. No. Hey, what am I doing? Am I doing the flashback show or what?
Rodney. Wow, Rodney sounds a little bit confused these days. I don't know what's going on.
Sure.
All right, Kevin, to be...
screw-ups are funny, though. It stinks that those outtakes sure are making the blooper reel at the end of the office Christmas party.
Oh, remember back when we used to have office Christmas parties? Those were the days.
Yeah.
All right. Kevin, it means Cinco de la Tarde. It means it's Ralph Garman time. What's going on in the world of show business?
I want to give X-Files fans a heads up that they're having a very special event to raise money for a spectacular charity. It is going to be an exclusive double feature screening of both X-Files movies.
Oh.
Fight the Future and I Want to Believe. And they'll be hosted by writer and executive producer Frank Spotnitz, one of the geniuses behind the X-Files, as well as director Rob Bowman. It's an evening with the creators and directors of X-Files. You get to see both movies. You get popcorn and soda and hang out with them. All proceeds go to help cure neurofibromatosis. I don't know if you're familiar with this disease or not, but it is a... it's a progressive disorder that affects all races, all ethnic groups, both sexes equally. It affects children when they're newly born. Mm-hmm. It's one of the most common genetic disorders in the United States, and they're raising money to battle this, inspired by Gillian Anderson. This is her pet charity. So all the money raised will go to...
It's a charity for pets?
Fight neurofibromatosis. If you'd like more information, you can go to XF, which stands for, of course, X-Files, XF screening event at inspiredbyjillian.com, and they will give you all the details. But I want to give you a heads up for all you X-Files fans. I know there's a bunch of them out there, especially if you listen to our show.
Ralph, that website's quite
it's
confusing.
Pretty long.
Give it to us one more time.
Sure. No, you're not getting me, man. You're not suckering me, and I've been there. I've lived that life. Nice try, though. The thriller music. I'm no sap.
I don't know what you're
talking
about. How
dare you?
Kevin just wants to make sure the information gets out there, Ralph. How dare you deprive
the kids?
Oh, I didn't
realize that. Okay, then it's X-Files screening event at inspiredbyjillian.com.
You're going to have to play it. I don't have it.
You didn't even have it?
I was just hoping that you would have it up. I mean, I thought you'd hear me and realize. I don't know. We got to start coming to the meetings.
You are a weak-ass practical joker.
Well, I'm not good.
Yeah.
If that's what you're saying.
You know Emma Thompson, the British actress?
Of course.
Yes.
She and her husband, Greg Wise, love smoking and drinking so much that they were furious when their local pub in their British hometown banned smoking.
Right.
In the bar. In fact, the pub went out of business because people stopped going there.
Well, what are they supposed to do then? Just keep serving alcohol when no one's going?
Well, it's a nationwide ban now. You can't smoke in bars anymore in England. So what they've done is they've built their own pub in their home.
I like it.
He built an entire pub for himself and for his wife. And they have bought about 80,000 ashtrays, he says, to accessorize the pub.
80,000
ashtrays.
It's
a shrine to smoking. It's a dedicated temple of smoke is what it is.
Those people like smoking.
That was my favorite Indiana Jones movie, by the way.
Temple of Smoke. Yeah, it was a good one. It sounds like a place that you must visit in your lifetime.
Yes, I must work there. I'm going to get a job as a bartender. Go back to my roots. Britney Spears may be planning a special surprise appearance this weekend on the American Music Awards.
Oh, we could be so lucky.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
Fingers crossed.
Online is reporting that they're in the works in booking Ms. Spears. However, they've decided not to tell Jimmy Kimmel.
What?
This is the story. They say...
He's the host of the show.
I know. They're saying a big surprise is planned, but they won't spill it to the host of the show for fear that he will talk out of turn.
So they're going to have a surprise.
And tell him at the last minute, just before he goes out, what's going on.
They don't know Jimmy.
Jimmy, listen up. Find out what's going on. They're keeping things from you.
They don't know him well enough. Because now he's going to discover it and say it.
Oh, yeah.
They're stupid.
Or if they don't tell him and it happens, he'll go on the air and say, they didn't tell me anything about this. I had no idea what's going on. Maybe they want to come out here and announce it. And yes, I'm sure by now you've heard, everybody's been talking about it all day, that Ashley Simpson and Pete Wentz had a baby boy yesterday. And yes, the rumors are true. He is, in fact, named Bronx Mowgli Wentz.
Wow.
That's not a joke?
Nope.
That didn't turn out to be false?
People speculating that the kid's name not only is super annoying and precocious, but also the initials will spell it BMW. So he's got that going for him.
Well, that is great.
That's key.
Really
I hope that Bronx Mowgli grows up to marry Pendulette's daughter, Moxie Crime Fighter.
Yes. And they all meet Penn Badgley and Chase Crawford in a dark alley someplace, and they all spontaneously combust.
Give it up! Bunch of jackholes. Take a look at celebrity birthdays, shall we?
Okay.
There are so many celebrities born today. Boy, there really? Are some celebrities.
Can you name one?
Oh, here it is now. Jenna Malone is 24 years old today. Goldie Hawn turned 63. Brian Ritchie of Violent Femme fame, he is 48. And Nicole Sheridan turns 45 years old today. I'm not even talking about freaking Bjork because Beano ring.
Oh, today's Bjork's birthday. I love her so much.
She's 43.
If Bjork were to talk to us, Ralph, what would she have to say about her birthday?
The passing of the year is the solar solstice of the spinning of the around the universe where all the fairy dust collects in the eyes of the star gods and they all come to say, look at the fig leaf placed upon my genitalia that is actually rising in heat.
Was that weird?
Very weird.
That's my girl. Thanks a lot to everybody for listening to the Kevin Bean Cinco de la Party. Wait, Party de la Cinco. Wait, what's,
wow.
It, what's it called?
Cinco de la Tarde.
Special thanks to everyone for listening to the Cinco de la Party.
Let's call it that from now on. That's a better name.
I like it. Why not?
How about the Party de la Tarde?
It's the
come
fifth,
on now.
It is the fifth of Party, though. That is accurate.
Absolutely.
It has been a very long 2 weeks. But we have a big weekend planned for you here on K-Rock, including tickets all weekend long to join us at the K-Rock Almost Acoustic Christmas 2008 shows. All you have to do is keep listening for a song. There's always one to be listening for. In fact, right now, Paramore, Misery Business is a song you need to hear to be caller 20 to win those tickets.
And then join us Monday morning for some live acoustic music from Scott Weiland.
Wow.
That should be great.
How about that?
Yeah.
Do I need to go on? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
Okay.
Stick around for Nicole Alvarez. 40 Minutes Nonstop K-Rock will include the new one from Franz Ferdinand called Ulysses, also some Incubus, Korn, The Bravery, how about some Weezer, and more straight ahead right after this on K-Rock.